no matter how much smarter you are than me, I will still always have one thing over you, and that's treachery. Right? That's the one thing that old people excel at is treachery.
In the United States federal law, sedition primarily refers to seditious conspiracy under 18 U.S. Code 2384. This occurs when two or more persons conspire to overthrow, put down, or destroy by force the government of the United States.
We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary. I remind you, a warning order is a heads up for folks. And these National Guard troops are our National Guard troops.
Because you work at the federal government, that you somehow have absolute immunity from committing crimes? That's not true in any law school in America, whether it's Yale or Villanova or anywhere else. That's not true.
Show up and use your voice. Put your body on the line.
Our Constitution, written by our founders, is intended to protect us against a threat identical to Donald Trump, someone who seeks power at all costs to get more power.
If any of them want to come in this city and commit a crime, you will not be able to hide. Nobody will whisk you off. You don't want this smoke, because we will bring it to you. And the fake, whatever they call them, because I can't say the name, but the criminal in the White House would not be able to keep you from going to jail.
No, people are out marching and all today, and we need to speak up. We need to be out there and shut this rogue government down, because it's just awful what they're doing to people.
There's what's called the 3.5% rule, which is that if you look at authoritarian regimes of various kinds all over the world over the last like century, once you have 3.5% of a population protesting nonviolently against a dictator or an authoritarian, that is essentially an unstoppable force that they can't oppose, and that precludes them from consolidating dictatorial power.
3.5%.
3.5%. It's not that much larger a number than what we're already seeing in the streets against Trump.
Levy war against the United States.
And it's clear. Look, I don't think any governor in history has had to fight a war against the federal government every single day.
Well, I said this yesterday. We've never been at war with our federal government.
Opposed by force, the authority of the United States.
Minnesota will not allow our community to be used as a prop in a national political fight. We will not take the bait.
Why are people showing up in vehicles, in convoys, not just in Minneapolis, but all over the country in an effort to obstruct lawful federal law enforcement activities?
Prevent, hinder, or delay by force the execution of any U.S. law, or seize or possess by force any property of the United States contrary to its authority.
I'm far enough away. I'm not influencing anything.
Do you live on the street?
I don't. No.
Okay, I need you to get here.
No, I won't.
Ma'am, I need you to leave.
It's my right to be here.
You need to back up out of the
way. I will not.
One of our cars as well. You were too close right now. You were interfering.
I'm right here.
Federal investigation.
You're going to get out of my face. I'm a public citizen. No, I won't. Tell me why I'm far enough away from your investigation.
You need to back up this way.
Step beyond our cars.
Don't touch me, please.
Let me say to this federal agencies and ICE, this is Oregon. We do not need you. You're not welcome. And you need to get the hell out of our community.
I don't know where people got the notion that if you disagree with our immigration laws, it is okay to oppose federal law enforcement. It is not okay. It is illegal. And if you use your car to ram a police officer or a federal agent, they're going to use deadly force. So people need to know this is not a game.
The definition of treason is explicitly defined in the U.S. Constitution, Article 3, Section 3, and codified in 18 U.S. Code 2381, consisting of levying war against the United States or adhering to the enemies of the United States, giving them aid and comfort.
No matter what you do to me, you can arrest me or not. I am going to document your illegal actions. Because if there is no accountability today, there will be accountability tomorrow.
Dude, I'm going to war. I'm going to war. I am going to war. I'm putting down the Cruller donut and the Dunkin' Donuts beverage, and I am going to war. Mark my words, Hegseth. I'm coming for you.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot.
and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Halfway through the week. You know, my parents are on their way to a vacation right now, and I just got an alert that, you know, if you thought you were having a bad day, you're not having a bad day, because my dad, apparently on his way to Hawaii, just lost his cell phone. So your day is not as bad as my father's day right now. If you find my dad's phone, let me know, though. Hit me up on X. He's frantically looking right now for that. But, you know, it's a chaotic day. It's a very, very busy day. And we got a lot to break down for you today. So we're excited that you're all here. Of course, we'll be joined by an incredible lineup of incredible people. People like Texas Representative Brian Harrison will be joining the show. As many of you guys know, we don't have a lot of fighters here in the state of Texas. We have a lot of fake fighters, a lot of Republicans pretending to be Republicans, but this is our one guy that we have. I rarely put politicians on this show because I don't like them. But he's not a politician. He's a truth teller. We are big fans of Brian Harrison, and he will be with us at around 10:30 a.m. Eastern time to break down the latest here in Texas. He's done with the rhinos. He's done with it. He is actually calling for serious reforms in the state of Texas that you probably didn't even know we needed, because they sit there and they pretend to pass legislation that's absolutely worthless. So Harrison will be joining us to detail just that. Also, Viva Fry joining the program later today. Some of you guys know he's a former litigator, podcast host over on Rumble as well. And it's a lot to break down with him because, you know, they call us a bunch of blackpillers, but the reality of it is we haven't seen anything. We haven't seen any movements. And, you know, Viva's keeping his eye on all things related to lawfare, all things related to the lack of action taking place. Also, we're going to have him weigh in a little bit on the suspected J6 pipe bomber. I know many of you don't believe that the individual who's been arrested is the person, but interesting enough, the man who has been arrested for that, his attorneys are claiming that he's actually been pardoned by President Trump and can't face criminal charges. Obviously, Viva's probably read into this, I'd assume, since this is like the case he's been focused on. So we'll ask him about that. We'll also talk about prosecuting Anthony Fauci, because Rand Paul's made several important claims yesterday when he spoke with Joe Rogan. I believe it was yesterday it came out. And so we'll be playing that for you guys as well. We'll also be talking about James Comer. Now, he is obviously the chairman of the Oversight Committee. And honestly, like, I know a lot of us are, you know, where are the arrests? Obviously, that's me every day. But James Comer has actually been bringing forward meaningful criminal referrals, and then they just fall flat over at the DOJ. We're going to talk about that because there's another one, Merrick Garland. That criminal referral is literally sitting over on Pam Bondi's desk. Oh, I like this graphic. Black pillars out there. Guess how many arrests have been made in the key cases that you and I all care about? Zero. But we're not shutting up about that anytime soon. We're also not shutting up about the transgender issue. I don't know if you guys paid attention yesterday. I sure as heck got a good chuckle in. Over the Supreme Court, there was a very important case related to transgender issues. Specifically, though, boys pretending to be girls trying to infiltrate female sports. Well, the Supreme Court's now taking that case up. And it was interesting because our so-called conservative justice, well, she's not so conservative because we could just say that she likes to use the same terms that those on the left like to use when describing this mental illness. Matthew Marsden is going to be joining us. He's an actor, producer, and also a contributor over the Blaze. He's going to join us to react to all of that because, you know, Matthew's got a whole squad of kids. I mean, that guy's really running a whole baseball team over there at his house. And so this is an issue that's close to his heart because he has a lot of young daughters. I'm sure a lot of you guys do care about this issue, so he'll be talking about that. He'll also be talking with us about ICE because, you know, Joe Rogan is going to find himself in a really bad position. They are misrepresenting a quote that was said by Rogan on his podcast. They literally cut it down to about 9 seconds and they pushed it out there, and the mainstream media is running with it. I'm going to play the full clip for you, though, so we don't mislead you. And we'll talk about how the media is covering it because they're all piles of garbage trying to make it seem like Joe Rogan's going against ICE. He's not. He's actually, and they clipped it perfectly where it sounds like he's against ICE raiding the homes, the buildings of illegals. But when you play the full clip, you realize he's actually telling you both sides' perspectives. I'll get that to that in a little bit because, of course, it's outrageous. But it's happening because, well, these people are cowards. These people are cowards. Also, there was a great video of an ICE agent shutting down a liberal hack, trying to pretend like they are better than him because they are college educated. It's one of those videos where you're like, inject it into my veins. Speaking of that, too, President Trump telling someone to F off yesterday, that was pretty amazing. Although, all right, you know how I feel about the Epstein files, but I do like a little bit of a spicy president. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first things first, you know, yesterday when we were on the show, we had the news regarding the Clintons. The Clintons are apparently above the law. They don't think they have to comply when they are forced to come in front of Congress. They think they are immune to prosecutions. They kind of are. But they also think that they don't have to answer any questions, specifically Bill, about why he was so heavily involved in Jeffrey Epstein. You know, visits, having him at the White House, you know, all of the things you'd want to know if you are a tax-paying American who despises pedophiles. So for some reason, Bill Clinton now came out yesterday, said, I'm not going to talk to the Oversight Committee. I have nothing to tell them in regards to why I enjoyed hanging out with the pedophile. Instead, though, he decided to pretend like he's a patriot. He's fighting for this country. Obviously, that's hot trash. He's trying to serve to you. But you're smarter than that. You don't fall for that nonsense. But yesterday, James Comer, who's obviously the chairman of that committee that he was supposed to speak at yesterday, well, James Comer spoke to the media in regards to Bill Clinton, thinking he doesn't have to answer questions. Take a listen to clip one.
All right. Well, I think everyone knows by now Bill Clinton did not show up. And I think it's important to note that this subpoena was voted on in a bipartisan manner by this committee. This wasn't something that I just issued as chairman of the committee. This was voted on by the entire committee in a unanimous vote of the House Oversight Committee to subpoena former President Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton's supposed to show up tomorrow. We'll see what happens there. But with respect to the former president, he did not show up today. One reason I think most Americans want President Clinton to answer some questions is because he visited the White House. Jeffrey Epstein visited the White House 17 times while Bill Clinton was president. I've been in Congress 9 years. I think I've been to the White House 9 times in 9 years. Epstein was in the White House double the amount of time that I was under one president. And then we know that Bill Clinton flew on Epstein's plane somewhere around 27 times after the presidency. So no one's accusing Bill Clinton of any wrongdoing. We just have questions, and that's why the Democrats voted along with Republicans to subpoena Bill Clinton. Not a single Democrat showed up today. Not a single Democrat. The ones that have press conferences on the Capitol steps and talk about how they're trying to get justice for the victims and all that, it just seems like they only care about questioning Republicans. And we've had a former Trump cabinet secretary, Acosta, in for a grilling. We had Bill Barr, former attorney general, in for a grilling. But for whatever reason, President Clinton didn't show up, and the Democrats on the committee don't seem to have a problem. This is the amount of preparation that went into this deposition today. These were the questions that we were prepared to ask. We've communicated with President Clinton's legal team for months now, giving them opportunity after opportunity to come in, to give us a date, and they continue to delay to the point where we had no idea whether they're going to show up today or not. I think it's very disappointing. As a result of Bill Clinton not showing up for his lawful subpoena, which again was voted on unanimously by the committee in a bipartisan manner, we will move next week in the House Oversight Committee markup to hold former President Clinton in contempt of Congress.
Yeah.
All right. I do trust James Comer on that one. That is something he's probably going to make good on. But again, will this go and die over at the DOJ? Likely. Many of these criminal referrals have died on Pam Bondi's desk, and not just Pam Bondi. Obviously, she's got a team, and she does put a lot of this on them to do. It is her job to do oversight on that, though, but the reality of it is not just her desk where things go to die. It's also Todd Blanche's desk, the deputy AG. So we'll see how this all plays out. By the way, I wasn't a fan of James Comer saying, with respect to the former president. We'll hold our respects. Bill Clinton is an absolute pervert. He's a creep. We know this. Again, we're not going to call him a pedophile because those are allegations that haven't yet been proven. But we can promise you that he is a pervert. He is a creep. And he has zero qualities of a respectable president. So I disagree with that. But I'd also tell you to buckle up because, guys, I have a bad feeling nothing's going to come of this. Bad feeling. Why? Well, although we did see, when Democrats were in charge, they did lock up, with the help of some Republicans, they did lock up Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro. They were able to get away with that because, well, they know how to do lawfare better than anyone else. And they're all compliant, and they know how to stick together on that front. But the reality of it is, remember when President Trump spoke just a few weeks ago and said that he has a lot of respect for Bill Clinton, that they are good friends. He's known him for years. You think he's going to let them throw him in prison? Probably not. Probably not. And it's a drastic turn of events for President Trump. I don't know why all of a sudden he has now sided with Bill. He speaks highly of him in regards to even the Epstein files. It's insane, yes, but it's happening. It's happening. I want to get to another very important update as well. This one's in regards to Jack Smith. Now, Jack Smith, as many of you guys know, is a former special counsel. It was ultimately, I mean, in my opinion, was just put in his role to go after President Trump and all of his allies and people who supported him because, well, why not? You get away with it. You get away with it. Well, Jack Smith, and we learned this through his private deposition that he gave to Congress just a few weeks ago, but Jack Smith wanted to speak publicly on the record in front of the American people. For some reason, Republicans shut that down. They wanted to be a closed interview. Well, now it looks like, according to Chairman Jim Jordan's team, Jack Smith himself will be testifying publicly in front of the House Judiciary Committee. An announcement being made earlier this week that's scheduled for January 22nd. Now, again, this follows the 8-hour deposition, that closed door deposition. I don't understand why Republicans wanted it. They also didn't do us any favors by releasing it, what, the day before New Year's? In the evening, too, by the way, hoping you weren't going to pay attention to it. You know, I'm a loser. I watch it. I don't care. You're not going to get it past me. But for many Americans, they were not paying attention to all of the crimes that Jack Smith was, number one, creating, allegedly. But most importantly, the fact that he thought he was above all. I mean, Jack Smith, although he was appointed as special counsel, they never actually validated his position or whether he had the authority to go after President Trump. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. And by the way, that closed door meeting was a 255-page transcript of Jack Smith that was released on December 31st. So my memory is pretty sharp these days. Again, there's no reason for that. Why would that happen in the first place? We don't know. We don't know. Interesting enough, too, folks, I want to play this. I could play the VO for you. This is President Trump. Yesterday, he was actually over at Ford. And it was interesting because, get this, one of the Ford employees decided to scream something out at President Trump, allegedly calling President Trump a pedophile protector. Well, listen, obviously, you know how I feel about the Epstein stuff, so we're not gonna pretend like I am not a critic of the president for his response to that, but we will show you this video of President Trump telling that individual, F you, twice actually, and giving him the finger, flipping him the bird. Now, if you needed any more evidence that President Trump is my fellow New Yorker, Queens native, here you go. Point right to him and tell him he could go F himself. That is the American way. Now, interesting enough, too, it's worth noting that the Ford employee and the UAW member has apparently been suspended for what he said to President Trump. That was in the Dearborn, Michigan truck plant. Why suspend him? Why wouldn't you fire him immediately, right off the bat? Right off the bat. One would think, right? This is a bad representation. You have the President of the United States coming to your plant, and this is what you're going to do? This is what you're going to say to him? Again, you know how I feel about the Epstein stuff. I'm not going to sit there and pretend like he handled this great. I'm not going to pretend like he's still handling it well. But he's still the President of the United States. Probably should have a little bit more respect for him. But I don't know. Just tell him to go F off, right? Right to their faces, the President of the United States. I like it. I like it. I know a lot of people will say, probably his wife, this isn't very presidential of you. But sometimes you just got to do it. Sometimes you just got to do it. See, these lefties think they could just run around and do whatever they want, and there's no ramifications for their behavior. And speaking of that, since we're on the topic of F off at 9:20 in the morning, there was a very interesting clip yesterday, and I kind of liked it too. Don't like the guy too much. I don't think he's a bad person, because I think most politicians are obviously corrupt, but I don't think he's a bad person. Eric Adams, the former New York City mayor, he gets a lot of, you know, pushback, obviously. He was, in my lifetime, I mean, obviously there's Rudy Giuliani, but I think Eric Adams is pretty much second. And I know a lot of people disagree with that, but I don't think he was as bad as what could have been, what's going to be in New York City. But Eric Adams, obviously not winning over a lot of people, especially because he spoke out about the immigration issue, the migrants that were pushed into his city. Oh yeah, this is a bad picture too. Yeah, we don't like that. But also Eric Adams is a race baiting scumbag. But all of that aside, there's a few minor things that you don't like, I don't like. Yesterday, he did tell a woman with a face mask on. I mean, she's literally suffocating herself. It's probably, you could only see one, but I could just assume that's probably layers of masks on her face underneath that one. But yesterday, while he was getting off a flight, some left-leaning hack, I guess, started throwing shade his way. We don't know what started, but we only know how this video ended. Take a look.
Eric Adams, please punch me in the face. I would love if you punched me in the face. Okay, you can go f*** too.
Those days are over. Yeah, you know what? Good. Okay. Because I've seen politicians in, you know, real life, I guess you would say, like, just, you know, after they've left their post, and I've never actually gone up to them to do this. I've never. You know, if you're going to sit there and you're going to bother someone as he's just at the airport, then good. Do what you got to do. But I think he had to catch himself for a little bit, because I think he almost was going to hit her. Obviously, we don't like that. But what is a woman? Some might ask. But this is the problem, right? These liberal women just think they could go up to you, be disrespectful, and you're just going to sit there and put up with it. Why? Well, because that's their privilege. As a liberal hack, they could say whatever they want to you, and you have to put up with it, tolerate it. It's 2026. We're not putting up with it anymore. Good on Eric Adams. Good he held himself back. I have a feeling you want to do a little bit more than tell her to F off, but we do not support violence against women. Unless, of course, it's another female, then, you know. Then all is fair. All is fair. Obviously, we don't know what started that little heckling situation, but I'd really love to hear his side on all of that and what began or how it began. You know, President Trump this morning, and I try to keep up with him on Truth Social. If you follow me on X, you probably see my posts. Because obviously he doesn't post too much on Twitter, probably not allowed to, given the fact that he has his own platform. But there was this post that he made this morning in regards to cutting off the funding for states that allow sanctuary cities. Take a look at this post. Effective February 1st, no more payments will be made by the federal government to states for their corrupt criminal protection centers known as sanctuary cities. All they do is breed crime and violence. If states want them, they will have to pay them. Make America great again. Yeah, you know what? F it. Why not? Do it. Do it. We've been calling on this from day one. It's refreshing to see almost a year into this administration. We're actually going to do it. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of legal challenges. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Clinton, Biden, Obama appointees that say, he can't do that. But, you know, do it. Do it. Do it. Because, listen, obviously, if they have the funds to set aside for a lot of these free incentives for illegal aliens to invade their states, you know, New Yorkers, for an example, when I was in college in New York, I graduated. I had student loan debt. Again, not asking you to pay, but I will tell you, though, illegal aliens who came to the state of New York, they didn't have that debt. Why? Well, because taxpayer money went towards their education. I didn't have that privilege as an American citizen whose father and mother have paid into the system for years. But an illegal invader who just came into our country illegally, they were allowed to get free college tuition. You see the problem here? See the problem here? I'm not telling you need free college tuition for all. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you that illegal aliens, the invaders, should not be getting access to free services when our own American citizens don't have that luxury. But right, states like New York, when they're giving those free incentives, when they're allowing them to leech onto their health care, why do we allow this in the first place? It is up to the administration to say, we're not going to fund this anymore. We're going to pull that funding because you're so wealthy that you could afford this. You could afford to bring these people into your state. You're actually incentivizing them to come into your state and to live in your state. You want to barricade them? You want to protect them from law enforcement from getting them? Cool. You've got the funds. So what we're going to do is just going to pull away our funds. Save the American taxpayer some cash. Because should the rest of us be funding it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And again, we asked for this. We asked for this. So this is good news. And it should have happened sooner. It should have happened sooner. All right, guys, we have an update in regards to the officer, the agent, the ICE agent, who was the one who shot and killed Renee Good. Now, again, clean shoe, good shoot. We're here for it. You had to fight for your life. But there's a new update in regards to what's happening with him. I'll give you that in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com because right now we've just extended that 40% off mega sale that we were telling you about yesterday. It has now officially been extended for a few more hours. No code needed. The sale will end today. So you're going to want to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com. If you like that hoodie that I was wearing last week, well, guess what? It's up right now on sale. I think it's like $30 less than it was last week over at the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Head on over there. Make sure you snag it before it's too late. The sale only goes on for another couple of hours to do just that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We just got some breaking news and that we wanted to bring straight to you guys right this second. It looks like the FBI has just searched the home of a Washington Post reporter. That news coming to us right now. Now, obviously, the details are very limited, but it looks like this so-called journalist may have had classified documents in their home. Specifically, they're not saying that, that Hannah Nathanson is the woman who actually went in and got these documents, but apparently she lives with an individual who has access to this material. Now, again, we're waiting for more details on all of this, but as of right now, the Washington Post, too, saying that they're waiting before providing comment, that they are monitoring the issue. But again, this Washington Post reporter has just had their home raided by the FBI. The FBI is looking to crack down to see if there was possibly classified information, government materials inside of their home. And again, there's a person who may have top security clearance
who would be the one to have it in their possession living in that home. So again, we're going to continue to follow it as it develops as of right now. But anytime, you know, the FBI raids a home of a journalist, I've got my eye on that, because regardless of what kind of reporter it is or what outlet they work for, obviously you want to make sure that all is fair. And it's not the government trying to crack down and go after reporters. But as of right now, it looks like that they believe that this reporter may have classified documents in their home. Again, this issue, this report is still ongoing. It's still developing, but this raid happening earlier today and it being carried out by the FBI as well. So we'll keep our eye on that as it develops, of course. But that is the latest on that front. Now, speaking of federal agents, as many of you guys know, we've talked about extensively last week, there was an ICE agent who was forced to shoot and kill a woman who was trying to use her vehicle as a weapon. Her name is Renee Good. Left-wing terrorists have sat here and pretend like her behavior was benign, okay? Nothing wrong there. But we've seen the footage from different angles. She did, in fact, did hit that officer. I want to keep driving that point home. We've seen the other footage. It's very obvious that she looks. She knows he's right there. He pulls out his gun, fires. Because guess what? She just hit him with the car. Second time for him in 6 months. She made that decision to do just that. She made that decision to go out there and harass these agents. Thankfully, they were rolling. You could see that she is a moron first off, but most importantly, is out there just trying to target these agents. Now, the ICE agent, I will not share his name. I want to make sure we don't do that, because he is an innocent man who has a family, and this should not be taking place right now. We should not be putting out his information so that these left-wing terrorists go after him. We know how vicious we are, that they are. We know how nasty they are. They know what they're going to do to this man. In fact, there are several GoFundMes going on right now, one of them being backed by one of the co-owners of GoFundMe that I just recently donated to. This man is going to have to do a lot of moving, but it looks like it's even worse for him right now, because he, in fact, is getting death threats. But Tom Homan's outlining what's going on with him right now and how he's responding to those threats in clip three. Take a listen.
When do I start seeing ICE agents, Border Patrol agents sue for defamation? Mostly I have been curious about, and really honestly, in some ways imploring, the Border Patrol agents who were accused of whipping Haitian migrants by former President Joe Biden and former Vice President Kamala Harris, among many others, to sue them for defamation. It fits the classical legal definition of defamation. And now, to your point, you have all of these, not just politicians, but now celebrities and sports figures like head coaches in the NBA, Doc Rivers and Steve Kerr, calling this agent in Minnesota a murderer. And I do wonder what is holding back these agents for demanding accountability in the form of a lawsuit for defamation.
I think things are so bad now, where are you going to see that start happening? I've talked to a few people, and I think you're going to see it happening. And for this agent that was involved in the shooting, I think he's going to, you know, wait for this investigation to pan itself out and wait for them to come out with actual facts, what happened. Then I think you may see him take action, because I know for a fact, you know, now he has to be in hiding. I seen a post this morning on the way to the studio here with his picture, wanted for murder. It's beyond the pale. So I think you're going to see more of that happening now, because they're way over the line. You know, we always got, immigration enforcement has always been controversial. It's always been, you know, tug at the heartstrings. I get it. But you know what? They're way over the line now. So I think you're going to see a lot more lawsuits coming here in the near future.
So this agent right now, Tom, is in hiding?
Yes. For the safety of him and his family. I mean, there are wanted posters with his picture, his license plate number, you know, and he's the death threats against him and his family.
Yeah, obviously that's what's going on right now, because left wing group, the politicians, the Democrats, the NGOs, all of these groups are gunning for him. They don't like him. Why? Because he defended himself. They don't like that. They don't like the fact that he is probably not going to be charged with any crimes, because he didn't commit any crimes. He didn't commit any crimes. In fact, I would plead with the President of the United States to issue him a pardon to make sure that the next administration doesn't step in and try their very best to go after him. You see, this is the problem that we have in this country right now. The left is just unrecognizable, a group of communists, terrorists. They are trying their very best to destroy this country. And when You know, this agent was hit a couple of months prior. You know, nobody cared. Nobody cared. I shared the story. I spoke about it. But did the left-wing terrorists, did they care that a sex offender that he was trying to apprehend decided to drag him in his vehicle for 50 yards and injure him severely? Did anyone care? No, they didn't care. They didn't care. If this agent would have been killed, guess what? None of them would have cared. None of them. They don't have a desire to see him go home to his family. They think that he is, in their terms, they say it all the time, a Nazi. They have completely vilified him. So yeah, now he has to go into hiding. Now he has to go into hiding. Why? Because the left breeds terrorists. The left breeds terrorists. And so that's what's going on right now in this country. We have a massive, massive issue with these people. Will anything be done? Who knows? I mean, why not go after these groups that are out here putting his information, his face out there? These media outlets. They're not media outlets when they're sitting there and they're trying to get this man killed. You know, even the New York Post put out a story on him and his wife. Apparently his wife's an immigrant. Oh, so you're saying he doesn't hate immigrants? Surprise, surprise. I mean, this is what they're doing, though. They're trying to vilify these people. They're trying to make them sound like they are not humans so that their left-wing terrorists, which we know they have a ton of, go out there and commit heinous acts, heinous crimes against these people. So it's absolutely sickening, but hopefully, you know, when this woman, Renee Good's family, was able to raise, she's well over $1.5 million. Wasn't probably going to make that anywhere in her lifetime. Sadly, leaving behind a child. Don't know if that money's ever going to make it to her. Apparently, according to one of the pages I read, it looks like they actually detail that it's going to her wife. It's absolute garbage. It's absolute garbage. I want to turn to another story. This one involving President Trump and the administration, obviously, we talked about how they are going after the Muslim Brotherhood. But he's making good on labeling three Middle Eastern branches of the Muslim Brotherhood as terrorist organizations. And this is important, of course. This is long overdue. Again, I'd like to see this more done legislatively so that when there's another administration that steps in, they can't just quickly overturn this and change it. But the president's doing his very best to go out there and trying to rightfully so, label this as a terrorist group. And I'm all on board for it. I am. Now, we're also keeping our eye right now on Congress because the oversight GOP is doing a hearing right now. This one, again, is on federal fraud. If I see anything popping up in regards to that might be interesting, might be enlightening, we'll bring it straight to you. But again, we have President Trump who's going after the chapters of the Muslim Brotherhood, and I'll bring it back to that story. Those chapters being in Jordan, Lebanon, and Egypt. The State Department has designated one of those branches as the Lebanese one as a foreign terrorist organization, which is the most severe label, which makes it a criminal offense to provide any material for these groups. So they might be actually ramping up to do something big here in regards to the Muslim Brotherhood. One would hope. But listen, you know, this is the, and I know we've had a couple callers call in about this. I keep telling you all, pay attention to what's going on locally. Even if you think, oh, I live in the Midwest, I live in a rural area, this isn't going to affect me. I promise you this is happening everywhere and you need to pay attention to it before it's too late, because here in Texas, they waited too long to get involved. Specifically, I want to talk about Oakland City. They just recently had a major victory in regards to the Broken Arrow Islamic Center that was supposed to go up. And it's a major one. It's a major one. Sadly, here in Texas, they waited too long to get into the fight. But if you're in Oklahoma City, you just had a massive victory. Let's listen in to that report on clip 4.
Those who live in Broken Arrow and many others all gathered in the auditorium of the Administrative Services Building at Northeastern State University, Broken Arrow, to discuss the proposed Islamic Center that would be located near Olive Avenue, close to the Creek Turnpike. We first reported on this project in December, and records showed the land was purchased in 2014 by the American Islamic Trust. Since the announcement, the proposal was drawn both support and opposition from members of the community, with more than 400 people signed up to share their thoughts tonight. Many of the concerns were geared towards possible traffic issues, economic discussions, sewer, parking, and the overall uncertainty of what would happen in the building or on the land. Others who were here for it reminded the council that those in the meeting that they too call Broken Arrow home and are wanting the second place to worship.
We are asking for nothing more than what this country promises, the freedom to worship peacefully and to contribute positively to the community we already call home. Regardless, religious freedom does not exist only when it is comfortable or popular. It exists precisely for a moment like this. Tonight is not just zoning. It is about who we are as a community. We respectfully ask the council to affirm the zoning approval and allow this compliant, low-impact place of worship to move forward. We are here to be good neighbors, to serve, and to build surrounding that reflect the values. Broken Arrow stands for fairness, inclusion, and respect for the rule of law.
The traffic in Broken Arrow is getting worse with all the ongoing building in the city, but where road extensions isn't keeping up. This is certainly true on South 129th East Avenue, where the property in question is. 5 o'clock traffic on South 129th is already frustrating. Adding another place of assembly or shopping center means it will only get worse. It is a two-lane road that, according to the city's plan, won't be widened for another 10 years, as was mentioned earlier. So why would we consider rezoning this commercial or granting a special permit for a place of assembly with no immediate plan to alleviate the extra traffic it would create?
City leaders acknowledge that while development projects often bring differing opinions, they say this proposal has gained a level of attention unlike previous projects.
Yeah, because nobody wants this in their community. The reality of it is they've purchased land. Like you heard there in 2014, this land was purchased by an Islamic group. And the reality of it is it takes them a while, obviously, to push forward and pretend like they're going to develop something to contribute to the community. But the reality of it is until they are the majority, they always play up that card. Oh, we're here to contribute to the community, but they don't want to coexist. We know that whenever they get to the majority, they usually kill off everyone else. Don't believe me? Take a look. What's happening all across the Middle East? Could you pop up in the Middle East in any Arabic country and say, hey, I want to open up a church here? The vast majority of them would never allow you to do that. Then they come here to our country and we say, oh, we just want to practice our religion. Well, many would argue that it's not a religion, in fact. And many would say, yeah, we probably should stop this from happening. Because once they start popping up, you know what they do? They start building more and more and more. And they don't want to include those who were there from the beginning. They push them out, in fact. We've seen what's happened in Dearborn, Michigan. Even the mayor over there saying, get out, Christians. So this nonsense where they pretend like they want to just coexist, they want to live amongst us, is absolute garbage. And it's intentionally misleading. Intentionally misleading. So good news there. This is why, again, and I believe we even had a caller call in about this, if I'm not mistaken. That was about well over a month ago in regards to Oklahoma. So that's great. They've been able to push back and prevent that from happening. But again, it's just temporary because they own the land. So there's going to be more proposals that come forward. They got to rewrite whatever it is. And you have to keep fighting. You can't just back down then. We're seeing this play out too in Plano, Texas. Many of you guys know Epic, which has changed their name to sound like they are not have any relevancy to Islam. They're trying to distance themselves from the word Islam. They've taken the name Islam out. And they just say that they're in the meadow. They are looking to build up a property. We all know that's not the case. They are looking to exclude those in the area. Although they legally can't discriminate housing-wise on who could live in their community, they will charge you fees, HOA fees that go to their mosques. They will not include you in, obviously, the community events. This is the reason why you fight back, because once they start taking over, it's no longer we want to coexist, it's we have conquered. And again, we've played those clips for you in Michigan where now they become the majority and they say the words conquer. We've conquered this neighborhood. There's no other group I'm familiar of that sits there and describes purchasing a ton of land in one area and then saying we've conquered this. Unless, of course, you know, you really are truly in a holy war that you've declared on those who do not believe in your so-called religion. So victory lap there. Again, pay attention. It's happening everywhere. They're purchasing land. They wait a couple of years and then they tell you we're going to build. We're going to push more. We're going to bring more Muslims to our area. You know, I was walking my dogs, took them to the dog park in Plano, and there's a group of Muslims who go there apparently to walk and to tour and to tell other Muslims to come here. Look how beautiful this community is. This community is beautiful for sure. But it's beautiful not because it was built by Muslims. It's beautiful because it was built by strong Christian men who built up our community. And they don't want to tell you that. They want to push us out. And thankfully, they're getting a lot of pushback now, but it might be a little too late for the DFW area. Because within the last 2 years, 48 mosques have gone up. Not just mosques. That's not including everything else. So pay attention locally, folks. I'm promising you, this is going to be a massive, massive issue for so many. All right, let's talk about this. I saw MTG tweet this out this morning, and obviously this is very controversial. But the ACLU is dropping a lawsuit that was brought on against the Trump administration. This one specifically is about withholding Planned Parenthood funds and for some other health clinics, which obviously HHS was supposed to be doing last spring. That's what was announced. Well, according to this report, and again, HHS has not commented on this as of yet, HHS has quietly released the money back in December, so that's last month. That is the reason why the ACLU has apparently dropped this lawsuit. The Trump administration is still defending in court for bigger federal cuts to Planned Parenthood. But apparently this specific lawsuit has officially been dropped by the ACLU. Now the group also says restoring funds will not undo all the harm that has been done. I mean, again, it's not harm that's been done. But again, this article is brought to you by Politico, so we'll just spare you there. Now, also to be fair, HHS has vowed to investigate whether these 16 grantees that have collectively ran more than 800 clinics, they're going to investigate whether it is widespread practices across hiring operations, patient treatment, and unavoidably employee race in a negative manner. I don't. Oh, then they're also saying that they're also investigating that these clinics may have potentially been encouraging illegal aliens to receive care. And that would be taxpayer-funded, of course. So we'll keep our eye on this. We'll wait to see if HHS has a response, because obviously this is a massive issue. And this is one thing you don't want to see the Trump administration giving up on anytime soon. Anytime soon. Speaking of the DOJ, you know, there's a report that came out yesterday. Apparently, people are leaving the DOJ. Again, it's the Civil Rights Division. So, you know, this has been ongoing where they have these groups that depart. They don't like the vision that both Harmeet has, Harmeet Dillon. Several career prosecutors in the DOJ, Civil Rights Division, announced that they are leaving the department shortly after they learned there would be no civil rights probe into the fatal shooting of that Minneapolis terrorist, Renee Good, by federal immigration agent, obviously, as we just discussed. It's according to six sources familiar with the matter. Again, so they tell you that there's six sources, and they tell you at least six prosecutors. Tell you who their sources are. I bet you, if I had to place bets, probably one of those prosecutors going straight to CBS News with this story. Most of whom are supervisors over the Civil Rights Division will be leaving their jobs. Their decision is to depart was announced at a staff meeting on Monday, according to a CBS News sources. Of course, the federal government is not going to look into this to see if her civil rights were violated. You know whose civil rights were violated? The guy who was getting hit by a car, a 4,000-pound car. His civil rights were violated. Why don't you look into that? And I hope, I mean, obviously, I hope that if she had any life insurance policy that it doesn't pay out. I'm just so tired of this, the level of delusion. You know, they've weaponized the Civil Rights Division over the DOJ for far too long. In fact, sending police officers who were just doing their jobs trying to defend themselves have been victims of the DOJ's Civil Rights Division. And so seeing this all play out now, good for them. Good for them. Hit the door. Get out. Get out. Because chances are you are probably one of the six who are going after law-abiding officers who are just trying to go home to their families while doing their jobs. And so I'm all on board for this. If you want to leave, leave. You're doing this country a service actually by leaving the Civil Rights Division. We need to encourage this behavior. You need to get out if you are unwilling to do your job in a nonpartisan fashion just because you think that the woman who is using her 4,000-pound vehicle as a weapon, that she somehow had her civil rights possibly violated. Yeah, I think the term is piss off because you know what? That man almost died for a second time in 6 months. How about somebody investigate his civil rights being violated? How about that? How about that? You know, these law enforcement officers, these specific agents. Now, again, I don't want to sit here and, you know, say back the blue because that's a regrettable statement to make because there are a lot of corrupt individuals who are a part of law enforcement. But those who are banging down doors, collecting these sex offenders who were illegally brought into our country, these murderers, these are the people who I praise. These are the people I want to make sure we support. Because if you go after this man, if you allow them to do what they're trying to do to this man, guess what's going to happen? Americans aren't going to be so brave to take on these roles, take on these positions. So this is why when these terrorists, when these left-wing terrorists come from them, for them, and you need to, as loud as possible, say, no, I actually want to inspire those to defend themselves. Because again, when these officers, when these agents are hit by cars and they're injured or they're killed, nobody cares. Civil Rights Division doesn't launch an investigation. So get the hell out of here. If you don't want to do your job, get out. Folks, I want to remind you, we've just extended that sale over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do just that. A couple more hours left. We're giving you that. I don't know. It's like a New Year's celebration. Can we still say New Year's? We're a couple of weeks in. I'll go with it. 40% off. It's our mega sales going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's been extended for a couple more hours. No discount code needed. The sale's going to end again today. So head on over right now and make sure you snag some incredible deals. I know a lot of you were commenting on the hoodie that I had on the show the other day. That is on sale. Looks like it's like $30 off from what it originally was when I wore it. So if you're waiting, now's a good time to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag that. I had it in a small. Ladies, it's actually very comfortable in a small. If you are looking to grab an InfoWars hoodie, I'd highly recommend you do just that. And also, just to incentivize you heading over there right now, you only have about 3 days left to enter to win that Ford Raptor plus $10,000 cash. That giveaway is going to end very, very soon. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you do just that. All right, guys, I've got a lot to discuss in a little bit. James O'Keefe just caught a Secret Service agent giving away a little too much information about J.D. Vance's detail. We'll discuss that in a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the CardioMiracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, supporters will be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. Getting a little bit of an update in right now in regards to what we've been talking about between last week and this week, obviously. As many of you guys know, tensions are heating up between the United States and Iran, which I know is a dream for Israel. But I wanted to make sure that we discuss what's going on there. Now, obviously, as you've heard in the reports, we did have a journalist, an Iranian journalist on the show yesterday, who confirmed that there's been 12,000 Iranians killed since the protests began in regards to you know, the government. They're obviously trying to get a regime change over there, and President Trump has spoken out about that. We'll play that for you in a little bit. But it looks like, as of right now, Fox News is saying that the U.S. military personnel are being ordered to leave certain bases in the Middle East. Now, this is interesting given the fact that we did see a report that Iran was preparing that if the United States did intervene with the protesters, then what's happening right now, which according to reports, is that these individuals, these protesters, are being shot by the government. We've seen several reports of Iranian, sadly, men are being executed. They're being hung, accused of committing crimes against Allah, and they are using that to justify their murders. President Trump saying that we're going to be intervening, but it looks like, which according to them, again, Iran did warn. They said, you know, the U.S. does intervene, we're going to go strike military bases nearby. And the news is obviously devastating. It's really hard to sift through what's truth and what's not. It's the reason why I love to talk to Annie Cyrus on that issue, because I do, and I'm very aware of the push by Israel to get us involved in Iran. But it looks like, according to reports, the United States is going out there and telling its personnel to leave certain bases. We'll keep following that as it develops. But again, that news just coming to us now, according to Fox News. All right, so we're following a lot more, and we'll get into the Iran topic in just a little bit. We're following a lot more in regards to all of that. President Trump is also, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, pushing for us to take Greenland. That was a big push for him this morning. I'll break that down for you in just a bit. Also, Rick Grenell says he's going into Iran and sneaking out homosexuals. And that was a tweet put out by Rick Grenell. Milo actually had a pretty good response to it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll also discuss RFK Jr. He's a critic of President Trump and his eating habits. Yeah. Yeah, he's a big critic. He doesn't know how President Trump's still alive. We'll play that clip for you in a little bit as well. We got a lot more happening, though, in just a little bit as well. We'll be joined in about, I'd say, 25 minutes by Texas Representative Brian Harrison. Now, he is a one of the very few politicians who I do trust, I do like a lot. He's a fighter in Texas. So look forward to having him on the show. He is trying to demand that, you know, Texas Republicans stop with all the BS. They push forward these legislation, these bills, I should say, first. And it always sounds good and fluffy, like, oh, we want to end property tax. But then when you sift through it, you realize it actually has nothing to do with property tax, and they're lying to the people. They're hoping you're just as dumb as they are. So that's the reason why they do just that. So Harrison will join us in a little bit. We'll also be joined by Viva Fry, because I got a lot to discuss with him. You know, they'll call us black pillars, but the reality is we have high standards when it comes to the government that we voted for, when it comes to our taxpayer dollars being utilized. And, you know, Viva has been standing off on a lot of issues because he sat back for these last few years and watched lawfare going on in this country, and he's fired up. He's angry. He wants justice, and he's been calling for it. He's going to join me in just a bit to discuss a lot of the cases. Specifically, though, James Comer continues to say, hey, guys, I keep giving criminal referrals over to DOJ, and nothing's happening. So before you go out there and you say that we're not doing anything, know that I have at least tried as the Oversight Committee chairman. And, hey, listen, he's done that. He's got the criminal referrals, the auto pen issues that he sent over. DOJ, But crickets. And obviously there's a report that we broke to you yesterday in regards to the Wall Street Journal saying that President Trump is becoming increasingly frustrated with AG Pam Bonney. We'll bring you the latest on that. A lot more to discuss in a moment. We'll also be joined by Matthew Marsden as well in the third hour of the program. So don't go anywhere. More to discuss in a bit. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 40% off. The mega sale has just been extended for a few more hours. So you got to head on over. No discount code needed. Again, it's 40% off over at thealexjonesstore.com. Limited time, couple more hours left in that. So stop what you're doing and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
We're back. Welcome back to The American Journal. Second hour of the program kicking it off here. We started off the show by talking about Bill and Hillary Clinton, obviously, as many of you guys know. Bill decided not to appear in front of the committee yesterday, the Oversight Committee. So you're hoping if we are truly living in a fair society that accountability would come his way, he'll be prosecuted and thrown in prison where he belongs. But things are different. Things are different. Congressman Tim Burchett is speaking out, though, in regards to Hillary Clinton apparently not appearing in front of the committee. She also thinks that she is immune, and I guess that's true because she's allegedly committed a lot of crimes that have not yet been dragged in front of a criminal court. And I say allegedly loosely. I mean, it's an overwhelming pile of evidence, and for some reason, for some reason, she's got this immunity that she doesn't get charged with anything. We just allow these people to commit crimes in our country, and we just don't even care to investigate them. But, you know, the congressman from the great state of Tennessee is calling it out. He just did a few moments ago. Let's take a listen.
Go ahead, ma'am.
What do you expect to see out of today? Are you actually expecting Hillary Clinton to...
Absolutely nothing. I think the Clintons have had a history of arrogance and... They're going to flaunt the law as much as they can, and they'll.
What do you say to those who say this is just a political stunt and a sideshow? Are you genuinely wanting to ask the Clintons questions?
Absolutely, absolutely. You look at Steve Bannon and who else was it? Navarro, who did not come in, and they were thrown in jail, but yet the Clintons seem to be able to flaunt that because of who they are, and that's not right, ma'am. If it was you or me, we'd be in jail.
There are other witnesses, though, that you have refused from testifying. Why push the Clintons to come in?
Well, this is agreed upon by the Democrats, if you remember. This is a bipartisan effort. So the Democrats agreed to this, too, as well. So I think that answers a lot of questions there. Anybody else?
Why do you think your Democratic colleagues haven't showed up for any of the depositions?
Ma'am, it's politics. They don't want to offend the Clintons. I get that. They're still, and that's all they've got left as far as in their stable.
Do you think that the chairman would be open for an open hearing of the Clintons?
I think you'd have to ask the chairman that, ma'am. That's not my decision. Do what?
Would you be open to that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody else? You good? All right. Thank you all.
Okay, perfect. Let's jump in on that because obviously the congressman is one of the very few who has the cojones to say the truth, and not many really do. It's the reason why we have him on this show quite often, because he doesn't feed you a bunch of nonsense. Obviously, it's a swamp. We all know just that, but usually both parties are directly in line with protecting these people, and so we'll see how it all plays out. Obviously, he's telling you, he doesn't expect much. doesn't expect much. Let's shift gears a little bit. You know, James O'Keefe still doing incredible work, and we love to highlight just that. O'Keefe in Clip 5 is working on a story in regards to Vice President J.D. Vance and his security details. Many of you guys know he obviously has Secret Service that follows him around. But what happens when one Secret Service agent is trying desperately to hook up with a girl? Well, sometimes they say a little too much. And they give away too many details. Now, this is probably very horrifying given the fact that we know that there are foreign governments that would want to kill both the president and the vice president. And so when they send in a woman, a honeypot possibly, you don't want a Secret Service agent who's going to spill too much information, you know, like your metadata information from photos, your schedule, where you're going to be, where your wife's going to be, where your kids are going to be. You don't really want that. Well, James O'Keefe just caught one Secret Service agent who was assigned to VP's detail, and apparently also... he's not a Trump supporter. It's a little bit of a longer clip because I want to play. There was a ton of good little sound bites that he had in this one. So we want to play it fully for about 7 minutes. So bear with me in this one. But it's worth the listen because James O'Keefe is uncovering a Secret Service agent who is a, we should say, Biden voter. And he's openly putting J.D. Vance's life at risk. Take a listen.
Can I see your badge again with your photo?
A current Secret Service agent on Vice President J.D. Vance's security detail.
When he's, like, walking, like, where are you?
We'll have at least a minimum head and
gives away vital, high-level security information to our undercover journalists.
We have different shifts.
Tells her about detailed future travel plans for the vice president and even sends her pictures with location metadata revealing where the president's convoy was located, potentially violating both the Secret Service NDA and United States federal law. And Tomas is fully aware of this. Quote, I sign paperwork, so if I don't have to give out information, I never do, otherwise I get in trouble. You really have to stand in awe of the lack of self-awareness.
There ain't nothing secret about what we do.
Tomas Escoto also reveals that he voted for Biden and that he hates Trump and Vance's immigration policies.
Did you vote for Biden?
Yes, I did actually.
No. What do you think about, like, all the ICE stuff going on?
You may have seen reports last week that someone attempted to break into Vice President J.D. Vance's home in Ohio. That incident prompted us to take a closer look. What we found in our investigation was an agent inside the vice president's detail who was actually revealing to a total stranger that the vice president would be visiting his home in Ohio days ahead of time. And while what you're about to see is an important story, the security of the vice president and his family is our top priority. Now, under normal circumstances, our editorial policy is to request comment a day or two before a report airs. But in this case, we contacted the Secret Service a full week in advance of this report to ensure that nothing we report here would compromise the vice president's safety in any way. But even with those precautions, what we uncovered is troubling, and we felt this is important for you all to see. We hope that bringing this to light strengthens security and helps prevent future vulnerabilities in our government.
Can I see your badge again with your photo? You said you were training. It was your training?
Yeah, that was like 4 years ago.
You're so cute.
We met Thomas on the dating app Tinder in October of 2025. The Secret Service agent is a holdover from the Biden administration. He was actually originally tasked with protecting Kamala Harris and Doug Emhoff. In fact, he sent us this image from a Christmas party in December of 2024. There he is with Kamala Harris.
How did you get picked to do, like, vice president?
Not by choice. It's just they talk to you and they, you know, it's like, hey, eventually you're going to have to go down to D.C.
Okay.
All roads lead to D.C. So you can go over the president's detail, the vice president's detail.
Note the irony, he's talking about undercover counter-surveillance to a journalist wearing a hidden camera. Tomas Escoto is often directly involved in the vice president's transportation to and from his residence at the Naval Observatory, surveillance of the vice president's residence, and even protecting Vance's wife, Usha Vance, and their children. Here he complains again to a total stranger he just met about his assignment involving J.D. Vance's children.
So what are his kids like?
What school?
Oh.
Yeah, we follow them everywhere. There's a 24/7, there is no slack.
Wow.
Not like there's a babysitter, but there are. It's a weird one that we always talk about, like,
Tomas proceeds to give our undercover journalist detailed info with pictures about the specific methods used to transport and protect the vice president. And even tells her some exact times of shift changes on the Secret Service schedule.
So, like, when he's, like, walking, like, where are you? Just follow him.
We'll have at least a minimum head and now that I'm on the vice president, that can be a little different because we have different shifts. We have shift.
Via text, J.D. Vance's Secret Service agent informs the stranger when he has picked up J.D. Vance's wife and even mentions that he and Vance are currently at the Tomas even sends a selfie from inside a J.D. Vance's residence at the Naval Observatory. It's basically a secure location while the Secret Service is surveilling the vice president's home. Now, while he's supposed to be guarding the vice president's property, Tomas is busy snapping selfies, texting our journalist. Now, here's a picture that Tomas sent us, taking off from Joint Base Andrews Air Force Base. You see the convoy vehicle going into the airplane. And some of these photos even had location metadata baked in the photos. It's worth mentioning that these pictures were taken a few months prior to sending them to our journalist. While they didn't give away the vice president's location in real time, they did give away certain routes that were used and the number of vehicles in the convoy, information which could be used in the future. This is a photo Tomas sent us from King Khalid International Airport in Saudi Arabia. Here's a photo Tomas sent us loading the convoy into an aircraft at Munich Airport in Germany, where Vice President Vance gave a speech to the Munich Security Council. Again, metadata there on the photo. Another image revealing the exact location.
Let me step in on this one because obviously, as many of you guys know, just earlier this week, having to follow around with Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, I can promise you that they ask you not to take photos like that because you don't want to disclose security-related information to the public. And so it's literally like day one training. Now, obviously, too, and the guy's got a good laugh at this, but if you're a law enforcement officer, you know the term. I learned it back in the day when I was doing beat reporting over at New York City, but this is clearly an incident where he thinks he's just stumbled upon a badge bunny who is trying to get with him, and he's giving away all of this information. Now, it's not even really funny given the fact that we've seen active threats getting carried out against President Trump's life. Obviously, J.D. Vance, his family last week also getting some crazy left-wing terrorists to go and, I guess we could say allegedly, but we saw the hammer. We saw the aftermath of the smashing through the windows, I should say. So obviously, this isn't somebody you want working for the government, obviously. But there's something with men where they just get a little dumber when they think that they've got a woman who's interested in them. Handing over your badge, that giggle got me good. Pretending like this woman's really interested in me. And it's funny because when you probably, and again, I don't know who the undercover journalist is, but usually it's like a total smoke show and these guys just have no idea what's coming their way. No idea what's coming their way. So an incredible report again from James O'Keefe. You want to check out the full report. It is posted. And he's obviously following up with that story. That Secret Service agent, though, is under investigation. It looks like has not yet been terminated. The last update I saw said under investigation. All right, let's turn to a post that President Trump posted earlier today. He was firing off a lot of posts, but this one's specifically about Greenland. Now, again, he's really, really focused on getting Greenland. Really, really focused on getting Greenland. The United States needs Greenland for the purpose of national security. It is vital for the Golden Dome that we are building. NATO should be leading the way for us to get it. If we don't, Russia or China will, and that is not good. Obviously going to happen. And this is obviously something that President Trump hyper-focused on. Now he's using NATO and saying something that NATO should want. NATO, obviously, a lot of members of NATO not very happy about this push. But President Trump really going out there and saying, we're going to get Greenland. So we'll continue to follow that as it develops. But again, he is not letting up on that topic. I know he's been talking about it for a very long time now, but he seems to be ramping up that. All right, yesterday President Trump made some claims while he was speaking in Michigan. Want to play that for you in clip six. Specifically, though, he's talking about the Iranian protesters who are right now on the streets. They are being killed, live ammo being utilized. Also, individuals who are accused of committing crimes against Allah are being hung. Sadly, a lot of these people are young people in their 20s. But President Trump had a very clear message yesterday to those who are protesting. He's actually telling them to keep at it. Even though we're hearing numbers of thousands of them being killed again, you got to be a little cautious here because the reports are all over the place. The numbers yesterday were in the hundreds, and then the high, I think it was like 20,000 was the highest number I saw. That's what they're claiming have been killed. We did have a reporter, Annie Cyrus, who is from Iran, who fled. She came onto our show yesterday and told us that the number of dead is around 12,000. But it's very interesting when you go through all of it because, again, you don't know what to believe. Obviously, Israel would love for us to get involved in all of this, and so you have to be very cautious here. But President Trump has a message for those who are in the streets right now in Iran. Take a listen to clip six.
To all Iranian patriots, keep protesting, take over your institutions if possible, and save the name of the killers and the abusers that are abusing you. You're being very badly abused. If the numbers are right now, I hear five different sets of numbers. I hear numbers. Look, one death is too much, but I hear much lower numbers, and then I hear much higher numbers. But I say save their names because they'll pay a very big price. And I've canceled all meetings with the Iranian officials until the senseless killing of protesters stops. And all I say to them is help is on its way. You saw that I put tariffs on anybody doing business with Iran. Just went into effect today. And I say, make Iran great again. You know, it was a great country until these monsters came in and took it over.
Now, I've reached out to the Pentagon for comment regarding that report that U.S. military personnel have been ordered to leave certain military bases throughout the Middle East. I'm waiting to hear back to see if that is true. But again, that is what is being reported by Fox. And that would be essentially probably the expectation that Iran is going to make good on striking military bases in the Middle East if the United States does go out there and inject themselves into these protests. Now, obviously, you heard President Trump very clearly saying that help is on the way. So one could only assume what that actually means. Again, I mean, we're not advocating for the U.S. to get involved in all of this, but we're going to report on what's being said and what's happening on both sides of all of it. It's also interesting because Starlink, actually, when I was down at SpaceX, I probably should have done a better job at asking about this, but they have been aggressively trying to make sure that they were getting a signal to those in Iran right now. They are trying their best to make sure that they have some type of internet access. So we do have hopefully a way of communicating with the people over there, because right now the government obviously shut that down. But apparently satellite internet provider Starlink is now offering free service inside of Iran. That's according to activists who are on the ground. Now, again, the death toll is all over the place, but they are trying their best to create transparency and to allow those who are in the country to voice what they are concerned about, obviously, and rightfully so. Obviously, they'd love to shut down the internet because they don't want you getting the truth. And we want the truth. We don't want to trust foreign governments to get this information like Israel. We want to hear it directly from the people who are on the ground there as to what's going on. So this is great news. Great that Starlink is getting involved in all of this and is providing them with some hope. Again, I don't know how many people in the country are going to have access to all of that, but they are at least trying to get this in their hands so that they do have access to internet, even though their government's trying to stop it. Now, again, President Trump, we're going to play clip seven for you. He really will not stop talking about Iran. This has been one of his main focus talking points. And again, my frustrations are here in the U.S. We've got stuff going on here, but for some reason, he's not letting up on the topic. So let's take a listen to clip seven.
Now we're hearing that they're going to start hanging protesters tomorrow. So it comes back to the question, have they crossed your red line or has the line moved?
I haven't heard about the hanging. If they hang them, you're going to see some things that I don't know what your where you come from and what your thought process is, but you'll perhaps be very happy.
What do you mean by that?
We will take very strong action. If they do such a thing, we will take very strong action.
And this strong action you're talking about, what's the end game?
The end game is to win. I like winning.
How do you define that winning in Iran?
Well, let's define it in Venezuela. Let's define it with al-Baghdadi. He was wiped out. Let's define it with Soleimani. And let's define it in Iran, where he wiped out their Iran nuclear threat in a period of about 15 minutes once the B-2s got there. And that was a complete obliteration, as it turns out, which is what I said initially. Then some questioned it, and they said, you know, Trump was right. So we've been right about everything. We don't want to see what's happening in Iran happen. And, you know, if they want to have protests, that's one thing. When they start killing thousands of people, and now you're telling me about hanging, we'll see how that works out for them. It's not going to work out good.
To the reports, yes, they are executing their people. There was a group of young people who were killed yesterday. According to other reports, too, they're only given about 10 minutes to say goodbye to their families before they are executed publicly. So that's probably the reason why they're shutting down the internet. We're going to continue to follow that as well. Also, it's worth noting that Rick Grenell put out a tweet yesterday, and obviously what's going on in Iran is devastating, but Rick Grenell saying that I sneak gays and lesbians out of Iran. Yeah, congratulations, buddy. Congratulations. How about just sneak out people rather than just, you know, exclusively towards a sexual preference? Why not just save people rather than, I mean, this is what you're really about. You're really about saving people. Again, like, I don't want the U.S. to have any involvement in this, but he put out a tweet saying that I help sneak gays and lesbians out of Iran. Milo gave me a good chuckle yesterday by saying we should be sending them there. Obviously, we don't want violence, but it just highlights the level of stupidity that's coming from Rick Grenell right now to advocate for sneaking out gays and lesbians. Are you kidding me? It's an absolute joke. James Comer is speaking right now in regards to, in regards to the Clintons failing to come in front of the committee to speak. If he's still there, let's take that right now.
Well, here we are again. I don't think it's any secret. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton joined her husband in defying a bipartisan, lawful congressional subpoena to show up today. I think what's most disappointing to the Oversight Committee is the fact that we have, in good faith, negotiated with the Clintons' attorneys for 5 months. Throughout the past 5 months, they've implied to us they were trying to make a date work. In fact, the last date we had, they notified us 3 days beforehand, said that they would love to come, but they have a funeral to attend. And we have been over backwards to try to schedule the Clinton. No, I'm still talking. Go ahead. Hey, get him out of here. You're not even a reporter. Get out of here. So here's the situation. We're going to hold both Clintons in criminal contempt of Congress. We believe that because this subpoena was issued in a bipartisan fashion, the Democrats acted the day that the subpoenas were voted on in the subcommittee like they wanted the Clintons to come because they at that time, if you go back, they were wanting me to subpoena the estate, which I did. We subpoenaed the estate and got all the documents, everything. That was what the victims asked. That's what the Democrats asked. I think that's what the American people wanted. We subpoenaed the estate, got 100% of the documents. I have subpoenaed the Department of Justice and Pam Bondi for the documents, which they are producing. Now, we don't like the speed. We all wish the documents would come in quicker, but we've gotten tens of thousands of pages of documents from the Department of Justice. And remember, they made a big document drop. And the Democrats cried foul because they said they didn't,
demanded redaction.
Right. They wanted more redaction. So they're double and triple checking this. And the Department of Justice is complying with our lawful subpoena. The estate complied with our lawful subpoena. Bill Barr, Alex Acosta came in and were deposed because of our lawful subpoena. This same lawful subpoena was issued to the Clintons, and they defied it. And, you know, Bill Clinton's trying to play the victim card here. Only Bill Clinton could try to triangulate something that's happened, a terrible atrocity to these survivors that have had to endure who knows what from Epstein and Maxwell.
Yeah, let me step in on this. We all know what they had to endure, and these people are getting away with it. And it's infuriating. It's infuriating. Now, obviously, James Comer doing his best, and we'll give him credit there. Folks, in the meantime, head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com. We've extended that 40% off site-wide sale. No promo code needed for a couple more hours. So head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com. 40% off site-wide for a limited time.
Hey,
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. And it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
Are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us in this segment. We'll be joined in just a few moments with Texas Representative Brian Harrison, who'll be calling into the show. Because he's calling on a speaker to do something that they should be doing in Texas, but sadly aren't. So he's trying to force them to do just that. I'll give you the details on it in just a little bit, but I wanted to bring you an update on a story we detailed for you as it continues to develop in regards to the FBI raiding the home of a Washington Post journalist. It looks like the AG has just officially put out a statement in regards to that. You know, the Pam Well, the Attorney General Pam Bondi saying in part that this past week at the request of the Department of War and the Department of Justice and the FBI, they executed a search warrant at the home of a Washington Post journalist who was allegedly obtaining and reporting classified and illegal leaked information from a Pentagon contractor. Interesting enough, the leaker is currently behind bars, they add as well. And then she goes on to saying that she's proud to work, obviously, with Pete Hegseth, who is running the Department of War these days. So a little bit of an update on that. They are not denying it. Obviously, the Washington Post is not coming out with comment. They are just standing by and saying that they're waiting to hear more information on this matter. But again, it is truly, truly interesting to see because anytime, as many of you guys know, anytime the administration goes after and, you know, executes a raid on a home of a so-called journalist, you want to know more details. Again, you know, we don't have to like the Washington Post. I don't. Most of the time, they don't actually produce real stories, but this is something I'm going to keep my eye on, make sure that this is what they are saying it is. So we'll continue to watch this as it develops. All right, let's switch up gears a little bit because, you know, this one's a little interesting. RFK Jr. says that he doesn't know how President Donald Trump is still alive in the latest interview that he just gave. I believe this is Joe Rogan. Take a listen to clip 8.
Who has the most unhinged eating habits?
The president. you know, the interesting thing about the president is that he eats really bad food, which is McDonald's, and then, you know, candy and Diet Coke. But he drinks the Diet Coke all times. He has the constitution of a deity. I don't know how he's alive, but he is. But, and he's at Mar-a-Lago. He says that the only time that he eats the junk food is when he's on the road, and he wants to eat food from big corporations because he trusts it. He doesn't want to get sick when he's on the road. But when he's at Mar-a-Lago, or at the White House, he's eating really good food. So I think you get this, if you travel with him, you get this idea that he's just pumping himself full of poison all day long, and you don't know how he's walking around, much less being the most energetic person, you know, any of us have ever met.
All right, that wasn't Joe Rogan, that was Katie Miller, but you get the point. Donald Trump is a big fan of McDonald's. Yeah, I do love a good McDouble. I do love their McNuggets, obviously, as well. But, you know, it's not really the best. But that man, for some reason, is able to eat that food, and apparently it doesn't stick to him. Apparently he's thriving. He's got more energy than most people I know. Like I told you guys before, at Mar-a-Lago, and he's just sitting around and talking to folks. He's there past midnight. I don't know how he does it. I'm in bed by at least 8, 9, the latest. That man keeps at it. So good for him. Maybe that's the secret to live Diet Coke. Maybe we were told not to consume Diet Cokes and they were all lying to us. This is a bit of a laughable story. Remember this woman, Lori Lightfoot? We did actually run a story about her, about how she's gathering a bunch of groups. She's getting funded to go out there and go after ICE agents. Well, there's been an update on her story. Apparently, Lori Lightfoot, not very good with her finances. Which makes sense given the fact that she wasn't very good at being the mayor of Chicago either. According to reports, Lori Lightfoot is apparently in debt. She has just been sued for $11,000 for one of her credit cards. Now again, apparently this is according, she was served by JP Morgan Chase at her $900,000 home for failing to pay a little over $11,000 in credit card debt. According to the complaint, Lightfoot's last payment was made for $5,000 in August. That's what they're claiming in their lawsuits. Now, obviously, this is concerning given the fact that her, according to them, her earnings was just, what, a little less than $1 million between 2014 and 2017. So, interesting enough, she can't pay her debt. I saw there was a fake, by the way. It's fake. Don't bite it. But there's a fake GoFundMe page going around to help her pay off her debt. That is not real. That is not real, according to reports. But it's very, very interesting. Since we're on the topic also of, well, we just were on topic about, you know, the FBI obviously raiding the home of a WAPO journalist accused of obtaining classified information. Let's turn to the story about a Chinese-born U.S. sailor who apparently sold sensitive information to the Chinese government. And his mother apparently encouraged it. Well, he's just been sentenced to 16 years in prison. Jing Shai Wei, I guess we'll just go with that, was blasted as a traitor and has been ordered to spend 200 months behind bars by a federal judge in San Diego for selling national security, national defense information to an intelligence officer working for the People's Republic of China for $12,000. $12,000, you just toss your whole life out. My gosh. My gosh. Investigators found that Wei was recruited by the Chinese foreign intelligence officer, and he's referred to as Big Brother Andy through social media while he was applying for U.S. citizenship. Oh, surprise, surprise. Oh my gosh. You guys, why do we even do this to ourselves? Why do we even do this to ourselves? Of course he's spying for the CCP. Apparently he told friends that there was an extreme suspicion in regards to individuals who offered him $500 a day to walk to a pier to see what ships were docked. I mean, this is just insane. So yeah, you deserve to go to prison. We're done with this nonsense. I'm so done with these people who were treasonous pigs. You're lucky you're just going to prison. I'm sure if that was the case in your country, you would probably lose your life for it. As many of you guys know, yesterday was a bit of an emotional day, obviously with the passing of Scott Adams. You know, Scott has, he's put up a good fight. And, it was very sad to hear that he lost his battle, obviously to prostate cancer. He was very open about it, and he, you know, which I love the fact that he, didn't stop doing his show. He was so dedicated to talking to the people, documenting what he was going through so that others saw it. And I mean, he literally did it to the very last day. His ex-wife came out, gave an update and said, you know, sadly, he will not be making it today. He has passed away, and it's obviously devastating, devastating news. But there were so many incredible moments of Scott Adams' life, and, you know, a lot of people, and I always liked watching his clips because I always appreciated how he was able to get people to expand their minds a little bit more than what we traditionally would kind of go with and think through. And I always really admired that. I want to play this clip 9, in regards to how Adams wants people to resist your brain just feeling the urge to be lazy. It was a very interesting, like a segment that he did for his show. And I just wanted to replay that moment on his program. Take a listen.
What if laziness is the habit of thinking about the cost of things or the effort instead of thinking about the payoff? I'm going to say it again to get a few more heads to explode. What if laziness is nothing but a habit of thinking about the effort instead of thinking about the outcome? What if you could reverse laziness by simply developing a habit of thinking more about the, let's say, the delicious food that you would like to enjoy instead of how long it would take you to get up and go get it? But the real question is, if you were to test this at home and try to see if you can think more about the good outcome and less about the work, would you get it done? Why is it that people have a second child? You know, why does a woman who goes through this awful, awful childbirth have a second child? Don't they always say the same thing? If I remembered how bad this was, I wouldn't do it again. Right? So the not thinking about the effort is vital to actually the survival of humanity. If we focused on how hard it was to have a baby, you just wouldn't do it. Or you do too little of it. But if you focus on how awesome it would be to have a family, well, there you go. You're going to go through the pain because you've already committed. Am I ambitious, or do I simply have a thinking habit which produces dopamine, because I'm thinking about the positive outcome? And is the dopamine the thing that gets me up and moving? And when you're observing me, you say, how the hell do you get so much done? And how do I do it? I think it's just this. When I think of all the things I do, I think about them in terms of their benefits. So here's your tip. It's going to change some of your lives. Think about the positive, not about the work, and see what that does to you.
Great message from Scott Adams, of course, folks. And he did write a letter to his audience prior to his passing. His ex-wife did read it, and it was just, I'm not going to cry again, but it was a very sad letter, of course, and he will be deeply, deeply missed, but an important message to share with the American people. All right, I want to switch gears up a little bit and shift things over to the great state of Texas. As many of you guys know, Texas, as they say, is a red state, but is it truly? That's because within the Texas legislature, they don't really pass laws that are necessary to make the conservative majority, which is the people, by the way, they don't really do enough to make it the actual legislative agenda. And that's a big problem here in Texas. But, you know, Texas Representative Brian Harrison is one of the very few who pushed back on all of this and decided to out those who are pretending to be fighters for conservatives, but they aren't really doing so. So just recently on X, gosh, it was a great one. I love this. But Harrison did release a letter to Speaker Burrows. As many of you guys know, he is the Speaker of the House here in Texas. And although he claims to be a Republican, he was voted in by Democrats, a very important thing to know, Dustin Burrows, that is. And so joining me to outline to the American people what he's hoping could be done on a local level here in the beautiful state of Texas is Texas Representative Brian Harrison himself. And it's exciting to have you on, sir, today, because you're hitting all the key points in this letter requiring the legislator to be held accountable. I mean, conservatives vote them into power, and for some reason they'll tell us they're working all these great things, but it's not actually what they say they're doing. And so the first big one for me is one that I know is a top priority with our audience, is banning Sharia. Now, many people probably don't know this, but we pretend like we've banned it here in Texas. We pretend like we've made all these moves to block it from being the majority rule here in Texas, but it's not exactly the case. So break down your latest tweet in regards to what you're calling on in the state legislature.
Well, one of the many reasons I always love coming on your show, Brianna, is not only have you relocated here to the great state of Texas, but you're one of the few people in the national media that actually understand the true depth of corruption in the Texas government, because a lot of people look at Texas and say, oh, you're this bright red Republican state. You reelected President Trump by a 14-point margin. There's no problems in the Texas government. You are one of the few who highlights the massive problems in the Texas government. And one of the chief problems is that even though voters give Texas Republicans in the House a 26-seat majority, the Democrat caucus, the radical leftist Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Barack Obama supporting Democrats, elect the so-called Republican Speaker of the Texas House. And it's one of many reasons that the Texas government often engages in what I consider gaslighting or theatrics. So they know there's a problem that the Texans want the government to deal with, so they pass a bill that doesn't do anything, but then they tell people that they solve the problem. Case in point, the Austin Uniparty has been gaslighting for a long time that we have, quote, banned Sharia law in Texas. The only problem with that is I'm in the legislature, I know our laws, and we have voted on no such bill at all. We tweaked a little part of the family code that deals with judicial decisions that are based on foreign law, which why is that happening at all in Texas? But yeah, so that's all we did. We've not banned Sharia law. Another great example, a lot of your viewers are probably familiar with this Sharia compound that's going up here in North Central Texas called Epic City. Well, so the Texas government knows people are mad about it, so we passed a bill to ban Epic City, and now all the Austin establishments tell in Texas, hey, we passed a law to ban Epic City. What they're not telling you is that the law to ban Epic City exempted Epic City from the ban on compounds like Epic City. So we have a lot of gaslighting going on, and Texans are waking up. Their eyes are being opened. They want results. They don't want rhetoric. So what I've formally said is, look, we're not going to be in session at all this year. The current schedule is we're not in session until 2027. Delay at this point is tantamount to acquiescence to the left. Let's not delay immediate legislative hearings. Let's come up with legislative proposals to actually deal with the threat from Sharia. For example, let's stop funding through our grant programs these organizations that may have ties to militant Islamic groups. Let's get these proposals on the table, hold hearings, expose the threat, craft the solutions, and let's pass these bold reforms now in 2026. Texans deserve action. And further delay is completely unacceptable.
Yeah, no, it is unacceptable. And I love the fact that you just brought up Epic because, you know, I did go to the hearing and it was in Collin County and I went to this hearing and, you know, I see that Greg Abbott's office is taking a victory lap and that's the governor of Texas, of course. And, they're claiming that they were the ones to force Epic to change their name to The Meadow, but that wasn't the case. When I went to that hearing, guess who really forced them to do it? Christian conservatives. There were so many who poured into that courtroom that they actually had to have an overflow room, and we overflowed the overflow room. So the reality of it is when they sit there and they take these little victory laps, although it gives them a nice little one-liner to pretend like they did something, they didn't do anything. Epic just changed its name, and it looks like, according to the Collin County judge, Chris Hill, that they might be presenting new plans, potentially, to bring forward before the county very, very soon. So, again, it's not over. And we actually just celebrated, too, in Oklahoma City. I know I had a caller a couple of weeks ago flag this for us, but they had a massive victory. Again, another Islamic center looking to
broken
pop
arrow,
up there.
Right?
Yeah, and they got that shut down. And although it's great, the reality of it is they don't stop there. It doesn't just go away. We have to keep in this fight. And this is why we need a legislator that does just that. I understand a lot of people are up for re-election. They're looking for promotions politically. And so now it's very catchy to sit there and say we need to ban Sharia, but they're not making the moves behind the scenes to do just that. What needs to be done specifically, though, in Texas? Because I constantly hear that the U.S. Constitution just already is banning Sharia, so that it would be unconstitutional if they were to implement Sharia. But there's also a key element here. We don't know when they're actually practicing Sharia on their Muslim compounds because they really don't let in local law enforcement or federal law enforcement, and they're very close-knit. So what could be done on the legislative level, I should say, to push back on that a bit?
Well, there's multiple things that I consider to be very low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
And that's, for example, like stop funding groups that may have ties to militant jihadi organizations that advocate the violent overthrow of the United States. And there's very good, strong evidence that the Texas government has been doing that through grant programs. So at a bare minimum, what I think, regardless of how people feel about the issue, I think it should be totally uncontroversial that we should hold legislative oversight hearings. The job of the legislature isn't just to stack up, you know, pass thousands of new laws every year. I mean, we're Republicans. We actually want fewer laws, right? That's what I thought the point was. We should be doing the other part of our job, arguably, from my perspective, the more important part of our job. Let's conduct real oversight. What's going on our executive branch agencies? What are my constituents, hardworking, overtaxed men and women of Texas? What are they being taxed out of their homes and their money being potentially weaponized against them, their values, their children, and their future by funding organizations that advocate the overthrow of the government of the United States, that are advocating for the expansion of Sharia law? So I really think it should be uncontroversial, and the speaker needs to bring us back right now in 2026. Let's hold interim legislative oversight hearings. Let's have everybody with every perspective, everybody who's got any skin in this game, or people who just care about the future of their state, come to Austin, put them on TV, let them sit in front of a dais of lawmakers, and let's explore the issue. Let's craft solutions. And then the second part of what I'm calling for, we need to hold special sessions this year. Further delay is unacceptable. And then you talk about, you know, the gaslighting and the victory laps. The swamp, it's not just that they want to deceive people about their non-actions and make them believe there's real actions. The swamp is actively working. We got primaries coming up in March 3rd. Early voting starts February 17th. We're going to have a ballot proposition for the Republican Party on whether we should do more with Sharia law. I encourage folks to show up, vote for that, but also vote for the people like myself. I mean, the swamp does not like it when you come out and speak boldly the truth and expose the corruption. So they've got not one, but they've got actually two far committed leftists who fund Democrats, who are funded by Democrats, who are actually calling to tear down the border wall, running against me in my own district here. So the establishment is doing two things. They're trying to lull people into complacency, but they're also trying to silence the bold voices that are speaking out for liberty. So we need every patriot. If you care about the future of our state, make sure you show up and vote starting February 17th and vote for the most conservative person you can find in the Republican primary.
Yeah, and you know, we're looking forward to pushing people out there to vote. I know tomorrow we've got a great guest lined up who's going to be breaking down the local elections here in Texas because we need people to vote. That's honestly how you create the change that's necessary. And right now we're in a fight for our lives here in Texas, and that's the reason why I'm here. So we look forward to that. But I want to ask you about the end corporate wealth portion of this letter that you sent over to Burrow's office. Can you give us a little bit of details there?
Yeah, people have no idea. You know, I mentioned Texas. So Texas has, by the way, we're problems on both sides. Spending, people think we're a low tax, low regulation, small government state. It's a myth. Texans are being taxed out of their homes because by one survey, we have the highest effective property tax rate in the entire country. That's right. Low-tax Texas probably has the highest effective property tax rate in the entire country. And what are we getting for that money? Well, the problem is we've been spending that money for years on the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris radical leftist agenda. We've been funding DEI possibly more than any other government in the country. We've been funding one of the biggest funders have been of the transgender agenda. Transgender indoctrination has been happening in just about every part of our public university system. But corporate welfare is on steroids down here in Texas. We've been funding the Green New Deal scam with these tax abatements for these wind and solar companies that are never there when it's hot or when it's cold. It's led to rolling power outages every time it gets hot or cold, just like the kind we have in California. That stuff happens in Texas. And perhaps most egregiously, just this past session, a lot of people don't know this, Brianna. The Texas legislature voted to tax Texans and give $1.5 billion, with a B, $1.5 billion to liberal Hollywood. That's right. Texans are being taxed out of their homes, and their money is being given to liberal Hollywood. And then now the press, it gets worse because the press is reporting that one of the biggest funders of Gavin Newsom's presidential campaign is who? Liberal Hollywood. So we've got to end this corporate welfare sham, stop the voters and the taxpayers of Texas from being forced to fund things they fundamentally oppose that are going to bankrupt our state. And then even the most egregious, we've got to end corporate welfare schemes that give taxpayer money in the billions to liberal Hollywood so they can turn around and fund radical progressive leftists like Gavin Newsom, who were hell-bent on destroying this country. We need to start acting like the Republican state that the voters of the state of Texas deserve and demand, and that's what I'm fighting for.
Yeah, I mean, that's common sense, and one would think you'd have the backing for that. But I know it's a fight still, even though we have a majority here, which is insane, but that's what's going on right now in Texas. Speaking of that also, I want to highlight this. We've got about a minute left in regards to what's happening here in Texas. You know, I did hear Greg Abbott, the governor, did say that here in Texas, I mean, we're ICE, federal agents are capturing the most illegal aliens here. And you're wondering, obviously, we're very close to the border, so that would make sense from that angle to all of this. But the reality of it is, you know, the federal government has created a lot of protections, DACA included, that have allowed and kind of allowed these people to stay put. But there was just recently in Tarrant County an individual who was arrested for allegedly making death threats to a judge, a county judge. Now, according to sources, and this is coming from Brandon Walton's, he's saying that the sources say that he is a foreign national. He's a former DACA recipient who is here illegally. This individual who has since been arrested. This is a common theme, especially in that area. Tarrant County, I didn't know how bad it was over there. But they seem to have a big illegal alien issue over there as well. What do you make of this story? Because, again, this is an individual who shouldn't be here in the first place, but DACA allowed him to be here.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about this. I mean, number one, thank God President Trump is back in the White House and has created the most secure border we've had in modern times. And I want to be really clear about this. The border is generally speaking, secure right now after Joe Biden let in these 10 to 20 million illegals. But it's secure because of the actions of the federal government. It is not secure because of the actions of the Texas state government. And one of my big frustrations is in three sessions last year alone, we passed almost nothing to deal with border security because there's going to be a day when a Democrat, radical Democrat's back in the White House, and we can never allow our state and nation to suffer the way it did under the Biden border invasion. So the state of Texas has got to do more to stand up its own infrastructure so that the next time we are left in the lurch by the federal government, we can protect our borders. That has not happened. Number two, Biden let in 10 to 20 million illegal aliens. Where are a lot of them? Well, it's unsurprising. A lot of them are unfortunately still here in the state of Texas, still causing problems. And I think the most infuriating, I mean, heartbreaking when the actual violence occurs, but infuriating even when there's threats. And I say this as somebody who lives with death threats myself. When every threat that's posed from an illegal alien, every act of violence that's committed by an illegal alien, every criminal action committed by an illegal alien, these are crimes that are 100% preventable. There's no excuse for them. These people who broke our laws to get here, they should be deported, and they should be deported immediately.
Amen. Texas Representative Brian Harrison, thank you. We appreciate your time as always. Guys, we'll be right back with more.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWars.com. Three posters I designed. Two I designed. Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, same Crusader King. And then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones. And it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Undesigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Here in just a few moments, we'll have Viva Fry on the program, former litigator and podcast host, to break down the very latest, especially in regards to that WAPO reporter who just had their home raided by the FBI. We'll be having him weigh in on that. Plus, Matthew Marsden is joining us in the third hour of the program because I got a lot to ask him. As many of you guys know, Matthew is an actor, producer, but most importantly, a parent who's fired up and angry about the trannies who have infiltrated schools, but most importantly, girls' sports. So he's joining us to discuss that, plus all of the left-wing terrorists who were targeting ICE agents. There's got a lot to sound off on that front in just a bit. But, you know, when it comes to the tranny issue, when it comes to biological men who are mentally disturbed going into women's spaces, we've got a lot of fighters in this movement, specifically one fighter who is apparently a Grammy-nominated singer, and many of you guys are familiar with her confrontation that she got into over at the gym in L.A. with a biological man who was entering and exposing himself to women in the women's locker room. Tish Hyman is a bit of a fighter these days, and she's not backing down anytime soon. She will not allow biological men to enter into women's spaces without you hearing from her. And she's going off right now at Ed Markey, a senator right now, in clip 18. Take a listen.
I want to find out who this is. Anybody know who that is? Who that? All these transies taking pictures with him. I wonder who that is. I like him. Hey, sir, nice suit. Who are you? Who are you? I see everybody hugging you. You got the chance,
man. Senator.
Yeah. The senator of where?
Yeah. Senator from the excuse. Yeah. Ed
from
Markey.
Where?
Ed Markey. Yeah.
Ed Markey.
Yeah.
There are a few senators we got to vote out, and this is one of them. This is the senator we got to vote out. The grown man fighting to be in a women's locker room. Isn't that something? An old man fighting to be in a women's locker room. Yeah, go ahead. Disgusting. You want to be in a women's locker room? You're a grown man. And you women are disgusting. You're all women. How can you even want men in the locker rooms with you? You're women. You don't got to stand up for me, bro. You're not going to do shit to me. You guys, don't follow me. Back up from me, bro. I'm not one of those people. Let me explain something to you. You fighting to have men in the women's locker room? That's disgusting. What kind of man are you? Get out of here, because we're getting you out of the office. You're getting out of the office, sir. Watch me come for you. You're out. You're old. You're disgusting. You're a perv. And you girls are disgusting for supporting men in women's sports. You don't get laid? You want to see penis in the locker room? You're weirdos. Tish Hyman's here, and it's done. That trans is over.
Stop making black people the voice of your
movement. We black people don't support that shit.
Period.
That shit's over.
That shit's over. Good on her, folks. Good on her. We're done with all of this. This nonsense, this needs to end, and it will end because the American people have had enough of this. Women will not be subjected to biological men entering our spaces and trying their best to be perverts. You know, back in the day, we used to call them perverts. Now we call them trans. We call them trans. So it's refreshing to see women stepping up to the plate and saying enough is enough. We're not allowing this because so many people are afraid to be called a name and they don't want to comply with it. So that's usually what stops them from doing just that. All right, folks, I just got a little bit of breaking news in regards to, since we're on the topic of Texas, AG Ken Paxton, again, I always think that he is the best one that we have. He just sent over a release in regards to his efforts to crunch down on Medicaid fraud. Texas AG Ken Paxton's Medicaid Fraud Control Unit has crushed last year about 180 indictments. 123 people have been arrested for healthcare fraud cases. And what does that mean? Well, he's recovered about $125 million in taxpayer dollars for the people. For the people. So this is big news. Big news coming from the Texas AG's office. Again, one of the very few who's going out there and crunching down on all of this. You know, so many politicians allow it. They don't mind it. Why? Well, they're probably getting kickbacks. But Ken Paxton, again, this is why it's so important. I know he's running for the Senate. He will likely win there. But it's very important for us to make sure we put in a fighter, because there's no other AG like Ken Paxton. No other AG like Ken Paxton. So good on him. Folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just extended that sale, 40% off site-wide. The mega sale going on right now. It's been extended for a couple more hours. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. You also have only a limited time to enter to win that Ford Raptor plus $10,000 in cash. That giveaway is still going on right now. A couple of days left over at thealexjonesstore.com. More underway in just a few moments.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we're seeing a bit of a pulse coming from the DOJ right now, so we wanted to make sure we brought you the very latest there. It looks like the DOJ and the FBI with the Department of War have just gone out there and raided the home of a Washington Post journalist. Now, normally I'd say, oh, we don't like that, right? Leave journalists alone. But it appears that this individual may have some ties to an individual who's currently incarcerated. We'll get to Pam Bondi's response and all of this, because she just put out a statement a couple moments ago that we did brief over, did a little briefing on. But Hannah Nathanson, she is the WAPO journalist who is being accused of possibly having classified information in her possession. Now, that information would have been given to her if these allegations are true by a Pentagon contractor. That's according to AG Pam Bondi's office. She put out a statement just a couple of moments ago saying that all three groups have worked together to execute the search warrant at a home of the Washington Post journalist who was obtaining and reporting classified and illegally leaked information from Pentagon contractor. The leaker is currently behind bars right now. Obviously, that stuff is easy to track. I don't know why people do this. But that is the very latest there. Joining us to discuss is Viva Fry. He's a former litigator and obviously a podcast host over on Rumble. He does a great job every day of breaking down these headlines. And, you know, I had to bring this story to the people because, you know, we have to say the DOJ, it seems like is showing a little bit of a pulse these days. We're hearing several stories coming out, especially because the president's saying, according to the Wall Street Journal, that he's not very happy with AG Pam Bondi. Not enough's been done there, according to their report. Also, by the way, I haven't heard the White House denying that report. But Viva, before we kick off there, I wanted to get your reaction in regards to the FBI carrying out this raid right now over at this Washington Post journalist's home.
Okay, I would need to wait for more details. A little skeptical. You know, you see, you have to apply the same standards when it's done against someone you might not like. Washington Post, I frequently call it the Washington Compost, it propagandist outlet, doesn't necessarily mean that you would then tolerate what you would not tolerate or otherwise criticize if it were done to you. Need to wait for more details, but that landmark case, New York Times versus the U.S., in which the government sought to prevent publication of highly classified information that was leaked to the New York Times about Department of Defense stuff during Vietnam. And they could not block publication because, you know, they hadn't shown the irreparable harm to national interest, whatever the criteria was. So on the one hand, if this is an activist journalist participating in, I don't know, soliciting or asking for someone to break the law to leak classified information, you might have a bit of a different circumstance. If it's someone who is a bona fide journalist, even at a propagandist outlet, you don't want her house getting raided and her sources getting stolen by the government any more than you would tolerate it with James O'Keefe, for example, when he got raided for allegedly conspiring to steal Ashley Biden's diary. Of course, the difference being we're dealing with potentially classified information, in which case, you know, I would revert to the New York Times. We'll wait for more information to come out. It's just, you know, also a little bit of the cynic in me. You see it in the headline of my Twitter bio. This comes when there's public pressure against Bondi to act. And so who do you act against? Well, don't go after deep state actors. Go after Washington Compost journalists where you think you'll have little political pushback for what might be questionable raids on journalists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would definitely be an easy win for them. Again, we don't want the low-hanging fruit. We want the people who were out here and trying to destroy this country for several years now. We want them to be held accountable. And so you're right there. But speaking of that, kind of gives us a good pivot because we just heard from James Comer, who obviously is the chairman of the Oversight Committee in regards to the Clintons. You know, Comer's done a good job, as best as one you could expect from a politician at this point. He's made several criminal referrals on several other cases, including Merrick Garland. I want to play clip 10 for you first, because in this, Comer saying, you know, I've already presented them with criminal referrals over at the DOJ. Nothing's really happening over there. And then he specifically details Merrick Garland being one to prosecute next. Take a listen.
House Oversight Chairman Congressman James Comer joins us now. And, sir, it's good to have you back on. Can you name the most egregious actions that you think the DOJ is sleeping on here?
Well, first of all, we worked very hard to investigate Dr. Fauci. We proved where he lied to Congress. That obviously is a felony. We gave criminal referrals to the Department of Justice. Now, this was when Merrick Garland was there, but the statute of limitations is 5 years. So all of our criminal referrals are still ready to be taken, picked up and run with. Obviously, the Biden investigation, we spent a lot of time on that. We proved where the Bidens lied about the money they got from China. We subpoenaed the bank records, which is very difficult to get the bank records of a sitting president of the United States and their family. But we did that. We proved we followed the money without a shadow of a doubt that it came from China. And there's been no action on those criminal referrals. And there are other investigations. We did the auto pen investigation and proved without a doubt that Joe Biden was never in the room. He was never had meetings on his schedules. He never met with anyone. No one ever saw him authorize those pardons. That was a months long investigation where we brought in people for depositions all during the summer. And when the government was shut down, we were still working on that. And yet the pardons haven't been officially declared null and void yet. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're now focused on Minnesota fraud.
Yeah, so obviously James Comer is expressing his frustrations over at the DOJ, and he's done this. This is now the second time he's expressed this. What do you make of his comments? Because obviously the Merrick Garland one would be a massive win if the DOJ got involved there.
Well, you know, in law, and I used to practice back in the day, lawyers could only be so rude with judges, and judges could only be so rude with lawyers, even when they disagreed with them. So there was always a polite way of, you know, telling someone they're not doing their job. That's what Comer is doing right now. And it's not, I think it's the second time Comer's been suggesting it publicly, politely, but, you know, we've given her recommendations. Why hasn't she acted? Is what you call a public spanking. And you had, I get mixed up between Rand Paul and Rain Paul. Oh, God, Paul, who was just on Rogan.
Rand,
he's talking about it too. Like, the pressure to act is coming from other politicians. It's coming from social media. It's coming from political, legal analysts and commentators. And at some point, it's just inexcusable. And the wait, and Harmeet Dhillon doing her best to politely defend Bondi's inaction by suggesting, yes, statute of limitations is one thing, but conspiracy, toll statute of limitations, RICO, you don't have statute of limit, you know, they're longer statute of limitations. You have Comer saying it right now. These are things that lapse over time, and you don't want to have to start arguing conspiracy, ongoing conspiracy, or RICO because you've let the statute of limitations lapse when it's pretty clear cut. So yeah, it's about time that there's some public pressure. The White House hasn't really denied that story that, you know, could be That one came out of the Wall Street Journal, could be intended to sow discord among the Trump administration, but it also could be that Trump is very frustrated with Bondi's inaction. And we've seen evidence of that where he posted what some say was intended to be a private text to Pam Bondi saying, get things done. And now, all right, good. So she went after a Washington Post journalist, a pulse, a very weak pulse, but that's not what people wanted by way of action.
No, it's not. It's not. And that's the reality of it, is they keep saying that, oh, things are happening behind the scenes, but we're not seeing anything of substance. And in comparison to what we saw under the Biden regime, how quickly they were able to go out there, round up hundreds of individuals who may have taken an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th, and then stack up the charges, conspiracy charges slapped in there, as well as trying to get terrorist enhancements. It's really hard for the American people to wrap their minds around the lack of actions that have been, you know, carried out thus far. And we're hearing, obviously, again, that Tish James is under investigation for possibly maybe campaign funds being misused. You're also hearing Jerome Powell's name getting floated out there. And obviously, these are bad characters, but these aren't the key characters the American people want to see held accountable for what they've done to this country. And I think that's the real key element to all of this. But, you know, I want to hover over the Bill and Hillary Clinton thing a little bit, because Comer came out just a few moments ago and we played it on the show, talking about how, you know, these people that we've tried working with them, we've, you know, flexed with the date a little bit of when they were supposed to come in and speak to us, and now they're just flat out coming out saying, we're not going to come in and talk to you. They obviously think that they're immune to prosecution here, and Bill Clinton putting out statement yesterday, which was laughable, pretending to be a patriot fighting for the American people, put that statement out on X. They quickly turned off his comment so no one can comment on it. But what do you make of all of this? Because, again, the Clintons, we know that they have been immune to prosecutions, to criminal investigations, and all we get are a couple of sound bites from Republicans fired up about it, but nothing more. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, people say, well, it took Merrick Garland 2.5 years before he indicted Trump. That may be true. It took him 3 weeks to indict Steve Bannon after he was held in contempt of Congress. 3 weeks. And it took him a matter of days before, you know, getting involved in initiating the most sprawling investigation in DOJ American history as relates to the Jan 6 persecution of everyone who participated. So don't give me this nonsense. Well, even Merrick Garland took a couple of years to... No, it took him a couple of years to get to the culmination of lawfare. He started on day one, and I'm not suggesting lawfare. Make them live by their own standards. I don't know if it's a Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. Make them live by their own standards. The Steve Bannon prosecution for contempt of Congress is their standard. Bill and Hillary Clinton want to come out and say, yeah, we got your subpoenas to testify. But no, we're not going to, because it's time to stand up to the rule of law by defying the rule of law. Okay, hold them in contempt of Congress and indict them. So it should take about 3 weeks, maybe a month. They should be held in contempt. And what's amazing is, you know, both of them, Hillary and Bill Clinton, put out their message identical. What is it? This is not left versus right. This is left. This is not right versus left. It's right versus wrong. Mm-hmm. Horse crap. Testify behind closed doors. I'd like to know the context of Bill Clinton getting a deep tissue massage by Virginia Giuffre, that infamous picture. I'd like to know what he was doing in that jacuzzi and who he was next to in that jacuzzi. I've seen two Bill Clinton O-faces that I don't care to see ever again in my wildest nightmares. Oh, no, but they've decided it's right versus wrong, and they're in the right by defying a subpoena. Contempt. And go to jail for 4 months like Bannon did. And deprive them of their defenses when they go to a politically partisan court. Bring them into court in Florida, deny them their defenses, lock them up for 4 months. Just 4 months. Just a little taste of justice, because no one is above the law.
Yeah, well, that's their rules, so we should be playing by those rules. And, you know, it's crazy because that jacuzzi photo that you alluded to here, you know, sorry to put it up again, but I was deeply concerned because obviously we were told that victims were going to be redacted, and there's someone's face that's completely redacted in all of this. We've never gotten a behind-the-scenes, like a detailed report as to what's actually going on here. Because if that's a victim, why is she in a jacuzzi with Bill Clinton? That's worth asking and worth getting a response to. And, again, Jeffrey Epstein made over a dozen visits to the White House while Bill Clinton was over at the White House. And that's unheard of for most individuals to make and have that much access to the President of the United States. So this is all something that's definitely worth exploring. And I hope we could get to that point at one point. But so far, the Clintons are not going to do just that. They're not going to comply. But speaking of complying, you know, you alluded to it too before in your response, the Senator Rand Paul interview that was done, and he details specifically how he's working with RFK Jr. to prosecute Anthony Fauci. Take a listen to clip 11.
Well, one thing we do know is that when Biden left office, he was granted this very bizarre pardon where he got a pardon that goes back to 2014 for crimes he was never accused of, never convicted. I mean, is that, it's got to be one of the first times that anybody's ever been pardoned.
Yeah, and I think it should be challenged. And so we have, under the Biden administration, I sent criminal referrals for Anthony Fauci to Merrick Garland twice, and I sent them evidence that he had lied to Congress, which was a felony. They just ignored me. I've been working with Bobby Kennedy, and he's been very helpful on this. I have a good relationship with him. He's given us a lot of information, and we've looked at the communications. And in Anthony Fauci's communications, we now have evidence that he was telling people like Francis Collins, read this and destroy it. Well, you can't do that. The executive branch, when they communicate, they're required to keep their communications, and they're required to do it on government devices. So we have this evidence, and I've summarized it again in a criminal referral to Trump's attorney general, and I still haven't gotten action. But there's a couple reasons we should do it. One, he shouldn't get away with lying. He shouldn't get away with destroying records. But two, we should check the pardon. Is an auto pen pardon valid? And is a pardon a retrospective pardon back 10 years that doesn't mention a crime? Can you give people a pardon for everything they did in 10-year period? I can't imagine, and I think the court might narrow that. But it doesn't happen unless the Trump Justice Department will do something. And I've been sending them referrals, and I can't get them to do anything. I can't guarantee they'll win. They might lose, but they ought to go to court. Take it to court.
I mean, one would think that's basic, right? Take this to court, fight it out in the courts, and for some reason they're still not doing it. Your reaction to Rand Paul, kind of just saying, you know, I've been trying to work on this with RFK Jr. That's something I think that was breaking news.
Well, you know, I was listening to that while I was jogging, and it's very difficult to jog while you're enraged. But refreshing my memory on everything that Fauci did, it will enrage you, even if you're a pacifist, sissy, snowflake Canadian, as some people like to call me. He's right. You got to test these things. And it's not to say strip the president of his power to pardon. It's to say maybe constitutionally there should be a scope. There should be a delineation in a pardon as to what it can and cannot cover or how broad it can cover. Because you imagine, like, one of the ideas is concealing a crime would be like evidence of tolling statute of limitations. So you say, well, I could not have known about the crime because they were actively concealing it. Are you going to give a pardon for that which someone might have actively been concealing from the person who might have been, you know, tempted to give them a pardon? So bring him into court, test them, and not lawfare. Just clarify this. Have the courts come out and say there's no limit to the breadth and scope of a presidential pardon. It can be prospective, retroactive, blanket, unspecified, whatever. Have the courts say that, but do something. Now we have useful information, and oh, it's good. It goes out into the internet, and people complain that the auto pen was abused by a demented, senile old man who might not have been operating it, and people are operating it and cashing the checks for when they operate it. Take it to court and at least set the parameters of what is going to be a constitutionally recognized pardon and the scope of it. But right now, it's crickets from Bondi, except here's a little, not even low-hanging fruit, like here's a little dash of meat. For the mob, oh, we've raided a Washington Post journalist's house. That's going to be the nice distraction from all the other inaction that Comer and Paul have been bringing to the forefront now. It looks like showmanship. It looks like not even too little too late, but just a distraction from the inaction. And it is about time for Trump to get frustrated, impatient, and looking at the real alternatives to replace Bondi. She's been the weakest link for at least 6 months now, and it's culminating in unnecessary damage that can be righted before the midterms if Trump takes hard, concrete action right now.
Yeah, and that's really important for folks to understand. I get, like, a lot of people are on edge. They're like, we don't know who to come in next, and that's something that if we were to replace, obviously, Pam Bondi would be a deep concern. But, again, it's also not just her. It's Todd Blanche as well, who I'm constantly told by reliable sources and even people on his team that my sources are great, but that a lot of things are falling on his desk, and then they're not being carried out or carried through, and I'm just told that there's a lot on his desk, and that's the reason why for the delay. But that's not good enough. If there's a lot on your desk and you need assistance, you hire more staffers. I'm pretty sure you get the funding pretty quickly. But we do have a Republican majority here, too. None of this makes any sense. They're just hoping, and they're just speaking over the American people and trying to say, oh, you're not intelligent enough to understand this, when they're trying to explain and walk over all of this in regards to how come we haven't seen anything really kind of pan out for us as of right now. We haven't seen any major arrests. We were also told there were three arrests, never got a mugshot, never saw anything. And obviously the court's throwing out two of those indictments again. So we're just over it. We're very upset about all of this. But, you know, you're talking about what happened earlier today and how that might have created a little bit of a fire to pretend like things are actually happening over the DOJ. I wanted to talk about this because you and I have spoken about this probably a couple of times by now. The J6 suspected pipe bomber, Brian Cole Jr., is someone who was quickly apprehended after the blaze broke a story and made an allegation about another person being the pipe bomber. But it looks like things are being pushed through the courts pretty quickly. But ultimately, Brian Cole Jr.'s lawyer obviously saying that he's not guilty of what they've accused him of. But most importantly, in clip 12, believes that Cole is actually pardoned by President Trump. Take a listen.
Judge called this a January 6th adjacent case during the hearing. Do you agree with that?
For purposes of the pardon, I absolutely agree with it.
What do you mean?
So I think you have to employ some kind of common sense as applied to the allegations. So if the allegations are that he went out there and he set down these components and that they were found on January 6th. The judge says that it's a part of January 6th. The pardon says that you're allowed to get a pardon for everything related to the events that occurred on or at the Capitol on January 6th. Like I said, we're going to talk about that at a later date, but I do believe that.
Sounds like you believe it's a strong argument he should get a pardon.
100%.
Of Trump's pardon is broad. It says the president will grant a full, complete, and unconditional pardon to all other individuals convicted of offenses related to events that occurred at or near the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021.
All right, so it's an interesting take to have. Obviously, he's a criminal defense attorney, so he's going to argue whatever he can. But do you think Brian Cole Jr. was, if he is the suspect of the J6 pipe bomber, do you think that he was given a pardon? Because the pardon itself does sound a little vague.
I do not think he was given a pardon, even if, you know, if he is the individual who is guilty of doing what he's accused of doing, I reserve the right to be wrong. I don't read it as covering him or his actions. A, he wasn't charged. He wasn't convicted. And his actions took place on January 5th, if we believe the official allegations, and not on January 6th. And I hope to all things holy that his attorneys are not saying, confess or plead. Yeah, he pleaded not guilty after the confession. And, you know, there is a way to make that make sense is he could confess to certain acts because if he was used as something of a pawn or a patsy, he might have done some of the actions, but he might be criminally not guilty either because it was entrapment or because he's mentally unfit to be criminally responsible for the legal consequences of his actions. So that you could make that make sense. I just hope they're not saying, confess to certain things and then we'll argue pardon, because it would be a terrible strategy to confess to that which you need not confess to or that which is incorrect in the hopes of being covered in a pardon that I don't think even reading it broadly covers actions that occurred on January 5th and covers actions for which there were no charges or convictions. So maybe I'm wrong and maybe people are going to say Aviva's out in left field. I don't think I am. And I've read that pardon over and over again to see how it is that anybody's going to say it covers anyone and anything tangentially related to the events of January 6th, even if they occurred on January 5th. No, it was specific. It pardoned and commuted people who were convicted and those that were charged or convicted. And so I don't see it covering it, but we'll see. I mean, you're dealing with a jury pool that might be amenable to sticking it to Trump and saying, ha ha, Trump, now we get to say this guy's covered by your pardon. Don't you look silly? But I believe this kid is criminally innocent in the first place. And we'll see what happens as more information comes out.
Yeah, no, you're not alone on this one. It's not adding up right now. What we've seen thus far in the criminal complaint, it doesn't scream that they caught the guy who did this. And based on their response, based on how quickly they went in and arrested him after another report came out, I got to say, it's all very suspicious. But Viva, thank you for joining us as always. We appreciate your time. Viva Fry, guys, give him a follow on X. He's a former litigator and a podcast host as well. Does an incredible job. If you're on Rumble, give him a follow there as well. Thank you, my friend, for joining us. We appreciate your insight as always. Yeah.
Have a good one.
Have a great one. Folks, we're keeping our eye right now in the White House because it looks like, according to reports, that Denmark and Greenland officials are actually at the White House right now, and they are expected to be meeting with the Vice President, J.D. Vance, as well as the Secretary, Marco Rubio, outside. Right now, there's a video. It looks like that it's Monica Crowley outside greeting the group of officials that are apparently present right now. We're going to keep our eye on this, of course, because President Trump renewing his push to obtain Greenland. It's for his Golden Dome, and he wants it. So this is obviously a top priority for the president and members of his administration. We'll click their meeting with J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio. We'll keep you posted as that develops. All right, folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we've extended that sale, that 40% off mega sale, for a couple more hours. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out. The hoodies. I know a lot of you guys like the hoodie I had on last week. It is on sale. It's about $30 less than it was last week. So now's a good time to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and snatch up one of those great hoodies for a limited time only. Again, folks, thealexjonesstore.com. We'll have more in just a few moments.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot of issues we want to make sure we get to. Specifically, we'll get to the corporate media trying to lie about Joe Rogan. I think that they're trying to misinterpret what Rogan said on his podcast, of course, to make it seem like he's against the ICE raids. We're also going to be talking about what you saw unravel yesterday over at the Supreme Court, because it's very, very interesting. Now, it started off as one would expect. As many of you guys know, we covered it here. It's related to a case regarding transgenders allowed to enter into women's sports, girls' sports. No, obviously, you know, that's our take. Common sense. Biological men have no place in girls' sports. Now, that's being battled out, though, at the Supreme Court level. And Justice Jackson, as many of you guys know, who's obviously a fire-breathing liberal in clip 13, well, she pretty much said what you'd expect her to say in regard to this case. Take a listen.
This notion that this is really just about the definition of we accept that you can separate boys and girls, and we are now looking at the definition of a girl, and we're saying only people who were girl assigned at birth qualify.
And yeah, well, that makes sense. But reminder, when she was being confirmed for her position, she was unable to even define what a woman is, which is obviously very controversial nowadays. And speaking of controversy, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who apparently is supposed to be that conservative justice that was appointed by President Trump in his first term, well, she doesn't want to be mislabeling these biological men who are struggling with, or boys who are struggling with, mental health issues. And instead, she decided to kind of go with the narrative in clip 14. Take a listen.
You're just drawing the line based on biological sex and saying that trans girls can't be on the girls' team in an age group that's prepubescent.
The record in this case does not support the notion that males lack an athletic advantage at 6 years old. That's about as early as the science goes from what's in the record. And even at that age, males have about a 5% athletic advantage over girls in most situations. Now,
obviously, that's disturbing that she's going with the narrative using the word trans girls. No, not trans girls, honey. We're talking about biological boys who are struggling with mental health issues. And she repeatedly did that yesterday during the hearing, during the opening arguments. Joining me to discuss, Matthew Marsden. He's an actor, producer, and a contributor over at The Blaze. And he joins us now to discuss. Matthew, it's an honor always to have you on the program. But, you know, obviously you're a father. You got a lot of kids. You're running a little baseball team over there. And so this is an issue that's going to be very close and dear to your heart in regards to protecting girls' sports. Yesterday's opening arguments, obviously, were very controversial, given the fact that a conservative justice is playing into the narrative that there's something called trans girls. Your reaction to hearing Justice Barrett sit there and continue to play into their narrative?
Well, firstly, Brianna, thank you for having me on the show again. It's always a pleasure. Yeah, I mean, Amy Coney Barrett is a Catholic, and actually my friend went to law school with her at Notre Dame, and he said that she was absolutely the smartest person in the room at all times. Mm-hmm. And he is, and I say that not facetiously, like she's very, very, very smart, mm-hmm. which you would hope you would get for a Supreme Court justice in the same way you would hope that you could get someone that understands and can define what a woman is. It's very worrying to me that she's using this kind of rhetoric, because she knows clearly, I mean, just as a Catholic, that there's no such thing as a trans girl or a trans boy. I mean, this is a fallacy. As you said, it is a mental illness that needs to be dealt with, especially in young kids. I mean, my friend Noel Mehring wrote a book called Awake, Not Woke, which talks about this and how kids these days are getting more and more pressured to find themselves a little bit more different than the others. And that's why, you know, you can be a special person just by saying that you're a trans. There's nothing you have to do. You don't have to be excellent at sports or anything like that to get the attention. So a lot of the times that is what they're doing. It's very, very worrying for me that she's doing that. Now, on the other hand, I do think that a lot of the times these intellectuals like to over-intellectualize things and go into the world of hypotheses and I'm gonna argue this out. I'm like, this is absolutely not the time to do that. It's absolutely not the time to do that. It's very bizarre. And the only thing that I, you know, can kind of, well, there's two things that come out of this. I think that When Amy Coney Barrett became a Supreme Court justice, she was under a lot of pressure, and her and her family were targeted by the lunatic left, right? I mean, they did put a lot of pressure on her family around her home. So I don't know if that is playing into it. I hope not. I think that these justices do have a lot of pressure, that they're worried that there's going to be violence enacted on them. But also I think that she might be, let's hope, Brianna, that she's playing both sides and she's saying, I'm going to use this rhetoric to kind of show that I'm a little bit more accepting of what the left has to say, when really inside I know that this is absolutely not true. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't think she should entertain that in any way, shape or form. I think it's a very dangerous, especially as I said, you have, and what you said, there are people on that Supreme Court that can't define what a woman is, which is troubling in and of itself.
Yeah, no, it is troubling, and it's a whole new level of stupidity. And, you know, I'm excited that it's obviously being played out in front of the Supreme Court. Hopefully this will put an end to a lot of this that's popping up all across the country. Again, I just don't even understand why we argue this back and forth. I mean, they're talking about possibly boys who have not yet hit puberty being able to still make their way into girls' sports. It's common fact. We are different. Both genders are different. And it's okay that we're different. And I'm just so fed up with this push to pretend like it's not the case. And that we also, like, I was going to play it for you, but it's just too much for me to have to listen to, cause there's no rebuttal. But there's a girl who's sitting there and saying, like, oh yeah, I mean, maybe girls could play into boy sports. They just tried a little harder. They practice. I mean, it's just, there's a biological difference here, and you either get it or you don't get it. And, haven't been able to sink to that level of stupidity for myself. Matthew.
Well, can I just give you an actual example that happened to me this week? My son, who's 12, was playing on a basketball team, and, you know, me and a bunch of the, it's the school basketball team, and me and a bunch of the parents are there, and the other side fielded two girls in their basketball team as co-ed. I do not think there should be any co-ed sports whatsoever. And you could see, I saw my son not be as aggressive as he would be and pull back when he was going for the ball with the girl. And, you know, I mean, even at that age, you say that, you know, things aren't as different, I wouldn't say like when you're prepubescent, right? But when the testosterone starts kicking in, but they are, even at 12, at 11 and 12, the boys are more aggressive. They're stronger. And you can see, if you are raising a child traditionally, as I am, he has sisters, he's not going to go and attack the ball like he would with another boy. If he flattens another boy on the court, okay, that's it. Get up, deal with it. If he flattens a girl, then he's going to feel terrible. So you can see these kids pulling back. And if they don't pull back, then you have to question, like, what kind of a boy am I raising where they're not respecting the difference between the genders, which is what we want, right? We should, the difference in the genders should be celebrated. Mm-hmm. Or should say the sexes should be celebrated, right? Boys and girls are different, and God made them that way, and that should be celebrated.
Yeah, no, it should be. It should be. And that's what we're trying to do over here. I want to switch up topics a little bit, though, because obviously it's been very controversial to have our federal government going out there and actually carrying through with federal immigration laws. Apparently the left doesn't believe in that anymore, although they were fine with it when it was Barack Obama. But now they're all fired up over it. But I want to play a clip for you. This was clip 15 that we're going to get to, because Joe Rogan is catching a bit of headlines these days with this comment that was made. But it's interesting, because I'm going to play the complete thought, the complete sentence. There's like a 9-second clip that's circulating online, and it makes it sound like he's going after these ICE agents, but that's not the case when you listen to the full clip. Take a listen.
Because I see both perspectives. I see the perspective of the people that say, hey, there was an illegal program moving people in here to get votes, moving people in here to get congressional seats, and we've got to change that. We've got to take those people that got in and send them back to where they came from or do something, because if we don't, they're going to keep doing it if they get in office again in 2028, and it's going to accelerate. And you're going to have to take away some of the damage that's been done to a true democratic system. because you've kind of hijacked it. And they kind of have. And then I can also see the point of view of the people that say, yeah, but you don't want militarized people in the streets just roaming around, snatching people up, many of which turn out to actually be U.S. citizens that just don't have their papers on them. Are we really going to be the Gestapo? Where's your papers? Is that what we've come to? So it's more complicated than I think people want to admit. You know, people want to look at this as a black and white issue, you know, if you're a compassionate person or if you're a pragmatic person. And I don't think that's true. I think it's both.
Okay, so NBC is running this headline that's making it seem like he feels like they are being Gestapos, is kind of the angle they're going with there. And I actually just turned over to Fox News, and Fox News is having the DHS secretary, the spokeswoman, Trish McLaughlin, give comments on this. And again, it's all taken out of context, in my opinion. I'll let you comment on this because I think they're just specifically going for that one sentence when he's trying to make the argument about both sides' perspectives on all of this. But again, it's a 9-second clip that's circulating online. I don't know why anyone else didn't do the digging to listen into what he was actually saying and full. To me, though, Matthew, it sounds like they're just trying to stir up the tensions. But do you think that he's out here criticizing ICE, or is he trying to give you both perspectives?
I don't think he's criticizing ICE at all. I think, as you said, he's trying to show what both sides are saying within the context of this one incident. I mean, firstly, I find it absolutely hilarious that the left is now embracing the guy that they lambasted and lied about when they said that he was talking about giving people horse paste, right? So, you know, the left has absolutely no morality in any way, shape or form. They'll go for whoever will give them the most clicks and what they perceive to be, their angle. We know now not to look at any videos on social media without questioning how long are they and why have you selectively edited them? We've seen this over and over and over again with people coming in and showing, let's say, ICE agents going and detaining someone without showing what led up to that moment. And I think that especially with this shooting in Minnesota, what you see is people sharing the one angle. And it's like these aren't the droids you're looking for, with the other angle that clearly shows that the woman hits the ICE agent with the car. So I think what Joe is doing there is he's trying to say, okay, listen, we've got to look at both aspects of what people are saying here, not whether the incident is one way or the other, but what both groups are saying, and we've got to come to some kind of compromise. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I speak with ICE agents all the time, and I'm a little bit more radical than the majority of them, because when I talk to them, they say, hey, I literally had this conversation with an ICE agent where he said to me, he goes, Matt, we're not rounding up grannies or anything like that. And I said, well, you should be, because I'm a guy that came here. I'm an immigrant. I came here the right way. And it kind of annoys me that people think that they can just walk over the border, and just because, quite frankly, because they have a different skin color to me, then they can stay here. That is not right. People don't, the left doesn't seem to care about that, about fairness when it comes to these things. It's all agenda driven. So, I mean, clearly, in my opinion, I think you share the same opinion, that what Joe is saying is like, we've got to get to the bottom of this. Also, with the left does not want any kind of legitimate conversation about this. We tend to go into these things saying, okay, hang on a second. Let's look at the circumstances. Let's look at the law. For example, I saw someone today on X saying, you are not allowed to shoot a moving vehicle, right? Mm. Yeah, you're right. But you are allowed to shoot the person in that vehicle if there's an imminent threat to life. And that ICE agent thought, that his life or the life of others, the lives of others were in danger. So it's a legitimate shoot. And you can see that all they want is to demonize the ICE agents. For some reason, they love the fact that they can in some way, shape or form demonize them, dehumanize them. And of course, as the left does, call people Nazis. And I think that, you know, Joe was right in what he was saying. He was like, hey, listen, we don't want these, you know, we don't want American citizens stopped and being asked for papers. I've not seen that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just not true. So I think that what he's doing is he's talking about the commentary on it rather than the incidents.
Yeah, no, I mean, that seems to be the case. And again, I just get so enraged because they're trying to create a little bit of friction as if he's siding with those radical lefties who don't understand reality, or at least pretend to not understand the reality of the situation. But I think it's really interesting. Also worth noting too, Renee Good's family, the woman who was killed in that shooting, just also recently hired, it looks like according to the Washington Post, the same firm that went out there and did the investigation, the civil investigation for George Floyd. So just keep that in the back of your mind that the same characters are all coming together to make this masterpiece, of course. I want to shift gears over to another obviously important ice angle to all of this. This one gave me a good chuckle yesterday. It's clip 16, and it appears to be an ICE agent talking about his job and his work and what he loves to do. Take a listen.
I don't care what they told you. If you guys get in my way, I will arrest you.
Sir, we're just observing. Please calm down.
You can observe all you want.
I am observing. Do you see me in the way? I am back.
You had anger issues as a kid, didn't you? Were your parents present? You should be ashamed of yourself, man.
He is.
I love my job. Thank you.
You love your job?
I can't believe I get paid for this.
Really?
I do this for free.
Really? I get $200K. I'm a physician assistant.
How long did you go to school for that?
Over 7 years.
I went to high school. And I make 200K.
People regard me as someone valuable in society. What about you? Is yours as prestige? No, it doesn't matter. Come out and report it.
Yeah, they didn't like that too much. They didn't like that too much. I mean, he's obviously prideful of his job, and I would be too if I was someone who is constantly going out there and scooping up sex offenders and murderers and taking them off the streets. But they don't seem to understand that, Matthew. Why is that?
Well, you know, they're so indoctrinated. They've chosen a side now, and I think this is what everyone really needs to understand. They've chosen a side. Orange man bad. Anything that orange man does is bad. Anything associated with orange man is bad. So they don't have the intelligence to look and say, look, this is a person, and almost every single law enforcement officer and ICE agent and FBI agent or whatever, those guys that I've met are massive patriots, and they have, it's a calling to them. It's a vocation. They want to go and do good. They want to go and protect American citizens. And when you're looking at ICE agents, as I said to you before, they're going after the worst. They're going after these gang members. They've already got rid of, out of that area, 1,000 rapists and murderers. And these people are being condescending to the men and women that are actually protecting them and protecting their kids. I can't love any more what that guy said. I mean, it's totally based. He's right. I mean, the decent Americans are looking, and they know what those guys are. They're heroes. They're heroes that are protecting us and protecting our kids. And so we're in a situation now where I don't see, honestly, Brianna, I've really tried to think about how we come together with the left. And it's not through a lack of trying from the right, where we sit with them and go, hey, listen, can we just look at this in a logical way, like a non-emotional way? I mean, the condescension, the way they talk to him, like, oh, you just left high school. So what? So what? Does that mean he's not intelligent? Part of this goes back to the indoctrination in colleges and the elitism that people have who go to, for the most part, go and get, you know, they think they're better than us because they got a degree in basket weaving, right? They're not looking at this guy who is willing to risk his life as being a virtuous individual, or think that he might be intelligent because he doesn't follow what they think. And by the way, as you said before, ICE agents were there under Obama. ICE agents were there under Joe Biden. They were still doing their job under those two presidents. It's just now they've decided that those are the bad guys. I don't know who's done this, Brianna, but in the shadowy conspiracies, you have to stop and think, why in particular have they decided to go after ICE? I think that there's going to be a massive uncovering of voter fraud. And I think they're terrified of that. And I think that it goes all the way up the chain to the politicians, which is why they're using this rhetoric. And it's very, very dangerous. And all it says to me is we got to double down on it. And all these people have to go.
Yeah. No,
they all have to go.
Well, that's the other thing too, is they're trying to like say that some people could stay, some people could go. Like that's not what the American people voted for. They voted for mass deportations, which means all of them need to go. And you know, Mars and I actually just got this update and I wanted to read to our audience because CBS News just pushed this out. According to two sources that they've spoken to, they're saying that the ICE agent who was, and again, I won't say his name, but obviously it's in the tweet, so sorry about that. But the ICE agent who was hit by the vehicle did sustain injuries, including internal bleeding. Now, again, we're told that, oh, no, he shouldn't have shot. He didn't have the right way to shoot because his life wasn't in danger. But it looks like internal bleeding. I mean, that's enough to confirm, number one, that she did make contact with him, even though we saw it from multiple angles that she did. But number two, that his life, in fact, was at risk because, again, he's suffering from internal bleeding. I mean, Marsden, they're trying to rewrite everything, but it's very obvious that this guy, his life was at risk, that she decided to make these decisions on her own. And yet here they are spinning a new narrative and trying to make it seem like she was just an innocent woman peacefully protesting that day.
Yeah, and it, by the way, it doesn't matter whether he had internal bleeding or not. It's the perception of what he thought might happen to him. He already got dragged 300 yards previously. He was on, if you look at the video, again, none of this is relevant. What is relevant is what he perceived, the danger that he perceived from her and somebody else. And by the way, they're going to memory hole this. They're going to turn around and say that it's a lie. Watch. We all know it. The problem is, as I said before, we are going into this rationally, putting a hand out saying, hey, listen, and by the way, Brianna, if we saw that this was an unlawful shoot, we would say it.
Yeah.
We would say it because we don't want that. We don't want that to happen. In the same way, I said it from the very beginning, why did she not comply? The first thing I say to my kids, and by the way, look, I grew up in the UK where they don't really have guns. There are some guns, but not like in America. The cops don't carry guns. So when I came to the United States, I had to change my perspective about what it means to be stopped by a cop, which is the number one most stressful situation that a police officer is in. So what do? You comply. You comply. It's very simple. I got stopped by the cops. The first time I did, I basically put my hands out of the car to show that I didn't have anything in my hands. And people might think that's ridiculous, but I'm like, I'm not taking any chances. And I know that the justice system, however corrupt it is right now, will still give me my chance in court. And that's it. That's all you have to do. And these people don't live in the real world. They don't truly understand the consequences of their actions. And part of that, Brianna, is to do with the fact that as men, by the way, I'm just going to say it, mm-hmm. It might not be popular, but as men, we have rough and tumble play, right? When we're kids, we fight with one another. We know the difference of physical strength. If you play football, you know what it's like to be hit by a guy. Women, for the most part, don't have that. So they don't truly understand the threat of violence like a man does. Mm-hmm. And what has happened over many years, unfortunately, because we're seeing this with men as well, they aren't having that kind of contact. If you have ever been punched in the face or been in any kind of altercation with another man or been in a physical altercation, I used to spar all the time, taekwondo and boxing, comply, comply, because the threat of violence is very, very real. And that's even not without the threat of having a gun pulled on you.
Yeah.
You know?
Marsden, it's common sense, and it's just not so common these days. We want to thank you for joining us. As always, though, thank you, my friend, Matthew Marsden, joining us again. Folks, if you follow, make sure you follow him on YouTube if you don't do it already. Matthew D. Marsden is where you could find him. He's also available on X as well, and he gives you so many breakdowns. Again, this is the guy you're going to follow because you very interesting perspectives on all of this. Matthew Marsden, as always, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, we're going to shift over gears a little bit because, well, we've reached the end of the show. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. Of course, working on a big show for you guys tomorrow as well. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. A couple more hours left and that 40% off mega sale is going on right now. We've extended that again over at thealexjonesstore.com. Limited time. And again, the hoodies you guys like all on sale right now. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab up these items before it's too late. Only a few more hours left. Also, you only have 3 days left to enter that Ford Raptor plus $10,000 cash giveaway. You get into that whenever you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, that does it for us. The Alex Jones Show starts up next. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.